All right, hit it. Here we go.
Saw you out there grazing on some grass. Couldn't help but notice that gorgeous ass. That tail flips so seductively, almost like a hand was welcoming me. You're a beautiful animal, but I don't wanna fuck you. I don't wanna fuck you now. You're a beautiful animal, but I don't wanna fuck you. I don't wanna fuck you now. And baby girl, do you want an apple? I'll take you to the wedding chapel. And baby girl, do you want some grains? Your hindquarters are making me insane. You're a beautiful animal, but I don't wanna fuck you. I don't wanna fuck you now. You're a beautiful animal, but I don't wanna fuck you. I don't wanna fuck you now. I might be a man, you might be a horse, but this bond between us is an overwhelming force. If they could see inside us, then they'd know that it's true. Then you'd be inside of me, and I'd be inside of you.
Fuck
wow. You. So
that was tender.
Yeah, it was very nice.
You know, in that song though, there is a phrase, hindquarters,
yes,
that I like almost as much as undercarriage.
You think hindquarters should get a good PR team behind it?
I think hindquarters and undercarriage both need a little rebirth.
You think that hindquarters might be the new undercarriage of 2020?
I'm hoping.
Okay, fingers are crossed.
Let's bring it back.
You should run on the hindquarters platform for office.
Let me ask you, is it, if I said to somebody, you've got great hindquarters, do you think they'd know exactly what I was talking about?
Where did they grow up is the question. Are these city folk or are these country folk?
Is this someone from Russia?
Russia. No, I wasn't thinking Russia. Okay. I was thinking general. Why are Russians familiar with hindquarters?
I would say no, probably, but
why? I'm just curious.
Just
why
seems like more of a slang term. They'd be like hindquarters.
I think hindquarters is super proper, not slang.
I bet you they do. I bet you that they probably describe most human body parts in animal parts.
How are you with your Russian accent? Is anybody good?
Not really.
Me neither.
We could go to some neighbors in
the building. Yeah, probably here. You can knock on any door.
90% of this apartment building is right. Dude, the lady two doors down yelled at my wife for walking in heels. She said she's going to call the cops on her.
Which, because it was loud?
Yeah, one night she walked at like 1 a.m., came home, and she had heels on. And the lady said, next time I hear you, I'm calling the cops.
And did you say, next time we see your husband in sweatpants and no underwear, we're calling the cops?
It's not.
I've never met him before.
She literally
but
wears like a wife beater and tighty whities and walks around the whole time.
I used to live in on Vista across from the Guitar Center.
Oh, yeah.
And I lived on Gardner.
Oh, you did?
Didn't you live in that building with Joey Diaz on Gardner?
Joey lived next to. Okay. Yeah, yeah.
Because he would always tell me, he saw me once, like, what were you doing over there? And I was like, I live there. He's like, this building had fucking Ralphie May, Josh Wolfe, I fucking lived there.
Jay Moore.
Yeah, he's like, it was fucking unbelievable.
I lived one street over. You know, I think there were weeks when Ron White slept on Ralphie May's couch.
Oh, seriously?
Yeah. It was a place to be because we all got coke at El Compadre.
Oh.
So you could just spill out of the building into the alley at El Compadre.
It's right.
Did you ever hear that Joey Diaz story where Ralphie May was fucking with Matthew McConaughey? Like the building right next to there had a garage in the back, and McConaughey evidently kept like a classic car in that garage. And on Sundays, he would pull it out and work on it. And Ralphie used to just scream out the window and torment him until he finally left.
Dude, Ralphie May, because Ralphie and Joey were both babysat my kids.
By the way, Josh Wolf is with us, ladies and gentlemen.
Ralphie May, hello. Ralphie May, there was one time we were going to Jack in the Box. He was like, Josh Wolf, come on with me. We're going to go get some Jack in the Box for everybody. So I get in his four. He was driving a 4Runner at the time. And we get into Jack in the Box, and he orders two orders. And he got a second order in a separate bag, please. And I was like, what is the second bag? He was like, that's for what I'm going to eat in the car on the ride home. So
he need a starter bag.
Yeah.
Would you like the three? Do you like the three or four bag, Mr. Man?
Yeah, he put like a horse feed bag on while he was driving and just fucking chow it.
Josh, take the wheel. Take the wheel, man.
We're driving out of Jack in the Box, the one on, what is that?
On Sunset? In like Cahuenga.
Yeah, something like that, right?
Right across from Amoeba Records.
You know what I'm talking about. Okay. And he goes, open up that glove box. And I opened it up, condiments. It was not filled with with registration or car manual.
It's in the mustard bottle if I need it.
Mustard, hot sauce.
Oh, my God.
And did he drill little holes so it wouldn't slide around?
I did ask him, I go, Ralphie May, what are you doing? He goes, I know, it's a bummer. I can't keep mayo in there. And I was like, yeah.
He had like a refrigerator built in.
Be hard to restock the ice. Yeah.
Jesus.
It was amazing. It was
You're like, is there
amazing.
Any a sushi bar? Is there any wasabi in here?
He was a really funny, genuine guy.
Yeah, you can put those on if you like. I washed them with rubbing alcohol.
Ears have been,
yeah.
It's a fun game to play.
It's a whole nother world.
My ears now fucked.
I don't mind. I mean, did you see that video of that basketball coach picking his ear and rubbing the earwax on his lips?
Oh, no.
What?
During the game on the sideline, he picked his ear and then he like chapstick.
Oh, like he was doing Burt's Bees.
Yes.
On his fucking lips.
Oh, God. Have you seen the video that was out yesterday?
No.
Of the woman spraying breast milk all over at a...
That was on like a few weeks ago.
At a new music
like
festival?
A festival.
Yeah.
She was pretty attractive.
I
was surprised she was had kid.
Milk.
Yeah.
Yeah. We just had a dick?
Had a kid.
Oh.
I
didn't watch long enough on that video.
Milk. Yeah, she sprayed something else at the end.
Watch this mother spray milk out of her huge cock.
Who was the lady at the end who just was like sprayed in my mouth?
She bent over like it was a spigot.
Okay. I know you're talking. Yeah.
Can you get diseases from breast milk?
Yeah, all sorts of shit.
You get hepatitis from breast milk?
I think
so. How much milk do you have? I mean, how much is if there's blood in it, though?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, all good breast milk has some blood in there.
I'm going to make a t-shirt.
You mix it up.
Says that.
And warm
that's
it up.
That's a great t-shirt. All great breast milk has a little blood in it.
Especially at a music festival. Who's like, you know what? I can't wait to get to Coachella because these titties need to be sprayed on video.
That should be their thing. Come for the music, stay for the breast milk.
If they had one of those, you know, those fans that spray like mist water.
Mist. Yeah.
But if you just misted breast milk, because breast milk is healthy, man.
You ever had it?
I think so.
I tried it.
I've tried it. I tried it with my ex.
I tried it. It wasn't good. Very warm.
Sweet, though.
Yeah, I didn't like it.
You didn't like it?
No.
But I liked it because there was a tit attached to it.
Yeah, that's
right. Oh, you got it fresh from the faucet.
You like the dispenser.
Yeah, I was like, okay. You know what? I don't love the taste, but I do love what it's coming from.
Like if Ralphie May could put mayo in the titty.
Yeah.
He may never leave that titty.
So you got kind of had on the marketing. Like you liked the receptacle, what it was wrapped in, but you weren't a big fan of the product.
Yeah, but I feel like I've done that before.
Yeah.
I like the way this looks. It's not real functional, but I'll keep this around for a little while.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you know what's big with that? Sometimes like certain clothing or sunglasses, like if they slip or they're not polarized. And I'm like, I kind of like the way this is. I did find out why you should have shades that are polarized and have UV. Because if you don't,
which ones don't? Those are just regular clear glasses.
Yeah, no. So some sunglasses they sell, and I'm a cheap 7-Eleven sunglass guy.
I'm the same.
Okay,
Venice Beach more.
Yeah, I'm whatever we need to get
$10 to $11 price range.
Yeah,
I'm
if
a Target
you go above
guy.
11, we got some problems. You a Target? Sunglass?
I'm a Target sunglass. I'll pay
$19.99. Whoa!
No,
look at for a money bags over here.
No,
of glasses.
No, if I'm paying $20, I'm getting two pairs at a kiosk in the mall.
You want a prescription in those?
I lose them so much.
Sit on them.
Well, see, I take care of my stuff. That's why I like to spend the big bucks because I know I'm going to have these for 10 years.
If you keep a pair of $20 sunglasses for 10 years, you're my father.
Those right there are 20 years old.
Get out of here.
Yeah, they are. Like, the design of them is, like, is way old. Like, it looks like... Like, people are like, what fucking year is this guy from? Like, the cut of it? It's just an odd shape.
You paying $1 a year? You're just like, I'll be back.
Pretty good investment. Not a bad investment.
I'm turning this AC back on, by the way.
Yeah, it's a little warm. By the way, those glasses, and I also like weird glasses. See those glasses right there?
Yeah.
I like them a little funky.
Those are a little futuristic.
I generally only wear lady shades.
Okay.
Like at the kiosks, I don't shop on the men's side.
Those don't look crazy womanly.
I usually wear the big Jackie O.
I wear big shades.
Yeah. I like a round.
Do you like a nice, like the ones that go up like Catwoman has?
No, I like a round Elton John.
Okay.
Big.
Like a cop shade.
No, but those are like Tom Cruise.
Oh, you're talking real. Okay.
Jackie O, your grandma shades.
Oh, like my mom in the 80s wore like the huge.
Yeah.
Like it would hit her upper lip.
I want to lick my glasses.
Okay. Sparkles? Yes.
I when I get high, I'll put a sparkle glass on.
Like, okay. You'll do it yourself? Like an arts and crafts? You'll go to Michael's?
I'm not bedazzling
fucking decorate your glasses?
You go over to Dice's house?
Yeah.
You got any extra rhinestones?
And we just dip it and put it in glue, and then we dip it in the sparkle.
Can you imagine going to Dice's house, and he's like, come on in, it's arts and crafts, and he's making his own jackets?
I would love
just gluing rhinestones?
I would wash the shit out of a Dice doing DIY projects in his house.
Oh, my God.
Like a Martha Stewart Dice.
I would watch him putting rhinestones on a leather jacket for hours.
You gotta do it precise. Like he has all these. You gotta do it. Put it in the middle.
You know what it could be like? It could be like the new Bob Ross, where he's like, everything looks good. He's like, we're gonna put a rhinestone right here. And you're like, don't do it, Dice.
He's got a hickory dickory dock. This rhinestone goes right here. Oh!
On your cock.
Yeah. I think Dice DIY. Dice it yourself. Get out of here.
That is fucking great.
We got to pitch him.
I mean,
he does want us to write Ford Fairlane 2 with nobody attached.
He calls us. He goes, I told you I was coming back, dummies. Like 10 years ago, he goes, write the movie now. It's going to get made. I'm coming back.
And we're like, well, if you're so confident that she needs some money. No, you do it. Then they sell it.
But wait. Nobody's attached, including him.
He was a baby.
He's like, I don't know if I'm going to do it, but you should definitely try.
That seems like a tough sell.
The koala's coming back.
Yeah, the robotic koala was the only attachment. Good. We got the koala.
And Wayne Newton, I think, might be making a new appearance again.
Oh, I hope Wayne Newton. I would like to see a Wayne Newton like Lifetime movie.
Yeah.
And who would be good for that? I mean, there are a bunch of people, but I think if you put a couple shots of Botox.
Michael Madsen.
Michael Myers.
I'm thinking Jackie Chan. He's kind of Asian.
Oh, it's not terrible.
It's not too shabby.
Yeah, that's actually not bad.
Samuel L. Jackson is who I think he could pull the role off.
Samuel Jackson can do anything.
Yeah.
I think that's okay.
No, Robert Downey Jr. as Wayne Newton.
You have to put on some pounds.
I think you're gonna either need to freeze someone's face or go Asian
Ray Liotta,
Hawaiian. Ray Liotta might be perfect.
Yeah, he has that look. His eyes are getting closed.
He's like when you see him in those commercials.
He's not smoking anymore. He's feeling
apparently,
good.
Yeah, but he's still drinking tequila. I like that. But when you see him in those commercials, like the tequila commercials, where he's supposed to be this cool cat sitting at a bar drinking tequila, I'm like, he's 80. Who are you marketing this tequila to?
Yeah.
Other 80-year-olds who drink tequila? Don't you want to drop the 8?
Yeah. Go young.
Younger than 80? I mean,
it's a wide swath.
Yeah.
It's a lot of people.
How many 80-year-olds are just sitting back killing tequila at a bar in Mexico?
Maybe they're going that nursing home market under the bed.
There's those expats who go there for like the sex tourism.
Huh?
You know the expats that go to like South America and Mexico for the sex tourism? They retire there.
What's sex tourism?
Like where they go and have sex with prostitutes.
Why can't they do that here?
Well, because it's
not as fun.
Frowned upon.
That's why Patrice O'Neill would go to Brazil.
What?
You didn't know that? He would like always go to Brazil here and there and like just to fuck, have a good time.
But no, a lot of like older dudes, like big old, like 80-year-old perverts a lot of times move to like South America. Because, you know, you can have sex with questionably aged
Different laws.
People.
Got it.
Different
laws.
Different customs.
Yeah, yeah.
Different,
your money probably goes further than you would expect it to go
and
here.
And the age of consent, I think, is less. So if you're a real fucking pederast,
yeah,
that's, you go retire down there. So maybe that's who he's fucking catering to.
They're like, look, there's a lot of old perverts leaving the country. We need to sell our tequila to them.
He should just be like, yeah, do you like fucking teenage girls?
I think we
live out of the country.
We should really think about this dice it yourself.
Well, can you imagine? Here's him baking. Here's him making his fucking costumes.
Here's him putting something together from IKEA.
Here's him coloring his hair. I would watch him color his hair.
I would like to hear him just pronounce the items at IKEA. What the fucking, fuck for flugin.
You want me to put this together? Fuck you. How do I get out of here? It's a fucking maze.
We just film him walking around IKEA.
The meatballs are great, but it's not worth it.
He would be haggling, too, for the prices on things.
I would watch the shit out of that.
Oh, yeah. And then at the end, every episode, he beats the shit out of Eleanor.
As the closer.
Like he does on Instagram. Where he's just like, Eleanor, now this is how you hit a woman.
How am I supposed to blacken your eyes if you're over there?
It's just like a fucking, yeah, get over here. You know what, your eye needs a blackness to it. He's bedazzling Eleanor's face
to cover up
bruises.
I never
realized how much Dice sounded like Yogi Bear until you guys started doing
it. It's a little bit.
Hey, Boo Boo, get over here and eat my ass.
That's Wheels. Boo Boo is Wheels.
Oh, it is, dude.
I didn't know you guys were old enough to know Wheels.
We came to the store, and he was a little before me, but I got there like right.
It was like
2003.
Months,
yeah.
Oh, yeah,
right,
so
in
that's
the new year.
Yeah.
Like right around this time.
I went to Alaska with Wheels.
Yeah.
Like, oh,
I got a room over there.
405.
Why?
Because I was young and I go, oh, first road gig ever. It paid $300.
To him, right?
Later, I found out it may have paid more.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but he was in charge of collecting the money.
I'll give you the money, not the owners.
Come to me. You want to trust me about this.
Yeah, I got it. I'll do your taxes,
How much more did it pay?
There was rumors that it could have paid like...
$10,000.
Yeah. Could have paid like $500 to $600.
Just a little
rumors.
Scam,
I don't know if I could prove any of this.
Did
but
he
I'd
wear
heard.
A robe...
No,
in Alaska.
But there's a lot of things that I probably can't say.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, the whole thing was just a ridiculous endeavor. I got But when I went to, I did radio with him in the morning. And, like, he was like a god to these Anchorage fucking morning radio guys.
Wheels his hair, get the good drinks in the fridge.
And people were just like, I mean, nobody was like, didn't give a shit. They're just like fucking Wheels. And they had a contest where you could call in and guess why they call him Wheels. Now, we know why they call him Wheels.
I don't.
Well, because he doesn't have a car.
Is that why they call him Wheels?
He didn't for a long time.
Well, that's what we think, because he was always bumming rides.
Have you ever seen his wheel tattoo?
What?
Because he has like big old ham hock arms, and the wheel tattoo is like the size of like a quarter.
What is it, like a speck of rice?
It's tiny. It's real small.
Oh my God.
I got a wheel on the arm.
What's he doing now? Is he in Vegas?
He's in wheel. He's doing wheel estate.
Yeah. Have you seen his signs?
He sells wheels estate.
Yeah.
He has sons?
No, his signs.
Oh, signs.
Billboards.
In LA?
Wheel estate signs.
No.
He was in Vegas. Now he's in Florida.
That's where he should be.
Yeah.
Yeah. I found a home here.
Oh, now, by the way, if you're wondering why he says they call him Wheels, it's because the wheels in his head are always turning because he's so quick off the cuff.
That's not it. That's for sure.
Are you sure?
That's for sure not it.
Are you sure?
That's 100%
okay.
Not it. Now, did he ever get that porn site up and running?
Wait, we
don't even know about that.
Wait, what?
When did you get to the store? Okay,
I got past Mitzi, passed me.
Okay.
Oh,
and
I like this guy.
When she called me over, she gave me the finger. You know, she
the beckoning finger, not the middle finger.
Not the middle.
Get over here.
She'll
call
you.
Show
over.
Me your dick.
So she sits me down and she goes,
"This is pre-Tommy, right?"
When you pre-Tommy.
Yeah.
She goes, "You're really funny," and I said, "Thank you." She goes, "I'd like you to start working here," and I go, "Okay." And she said, "And you're handsome. Did anyone ever tell you you look like a young Steve Gutenberg?" And I was like, "No." 100% nobody has ever told me I look like a young Stephen Miller.
Shocker, Mitzi, you're the first. Yeah.
I want you to go up as Steve Guttenberg Jr.
You're like, what? No.
You're going up as Stevie G. Yeah.
Oh, what was that guy's name who did Stevie?
Yeah, the guy
was Stevie
G. Cerebral palsy.
No, Stevie.
No.
The guy with the guy looked like Owen Wilson?
Yeah, he had the middle cut.
Yes.
He
was like a friend of Jay Davis.
Yeah.
Stevie
Z was another guy.
Who had cerebral palsy.
Do you remember he had like extreme cerebral palsy? He came up.
Is there another kind of cerebral palsy?
There's Davey Wester. Davey Wester has mild
flavors.
Yeah.
Is there a mild and an extreme?
You know Davey Wester, right?
No.
I've never seen somebody just with like a slight limp. Like they're not running marathons.
How do you know that's cerebral palsy? Maybe they just got a little bit of a limp.
Just a pimp? Because they were wearing a
you
shirt.
You just assume everybody with a limp's got cerebral palsy? Like, cerebral palsy.
Look at this ex-football player. Yeah. Where did he get cerebral palsy?
Oh, look at this guy with his...
Don't stub your toe, you're going to get cerebral palsy.
It's going around.
Yeah. I when I did Last Comic Standing... It was on the same year as Josh Blue. And
there's a cerebral palsy guy.
And
too.
So
it
I
is
had never,
not mild.
I had no, his is yeah. not mild. I had never met him before, but we roomed together. And I remember he told me, he goes, "Hey, you know, whoever has to follow me is in trouble." He said, nobody's ever seen me, and I only have to do 5 minutes. And it's gonna be 5 minutes of jokes about cerebral palsy.
My heart is palsy, bitch.
That and by the way, he got through maybe in his 5 minutes two and a half minutes.
It's because he had so many like ticks and stuff.
Applause breaks.
Yeah. Oh, applause you're like, what? Yeah.
We did have like some vocal, like
yes,
some ticks.
No, but it was all applause. Okay, he crushed. But guess who, when we looked at the lineup in the morning, guess who had to follow?
You.
This guy.
Oh, Guttenberg. Fuck. So did you go out with a limp too?
No, but I went out as a comic and the comics were judges. So I thought, the judges were comics. So I thought they'd get it. So I opened with, "Hey, everybody, one more time for Josh Blue," because I knew I had to acknowledge him, and everybody loved him. Yay! And I said, "Just my luck. I'm trying to get on a TV show, and I got to follow a prop comic." Right? So I thought at least the other comics would laugh. Josh Blue was laughing. The people, the comics on the side were laughing. The audience, over.
They're like, "We hate this man."
Yeah.
Anti-cerebral.
You know what, though?
If that were now, you would be canceled.
Yeah.
You know what, though? If that would have worked, you would have been a god.
I would have crushed.
Yeah.
That would have been like...
Sometimes that's that chance you got to take, though.
You got to roll those dice.
You got to hit the swing.
If that would have... Because that's fucking hilarious.
It's either going to kill... or it's gonna
or it's gonna kill your career.
Or it's over. But you're right. I couldn't have done that now.
Do you know Paul J. Stansbury, PJ, from the Comedy Store?
Yeah.
So he lived with this guy we're talking about, Davey Wester, who had
shorter
cerebral palsy.
Yeah.
And he's like, Josh Blue was like, "Do you want to come on the road with me?" The guy says yes. And so he's like, "Oh, it's perfect. I got all this fucking cerebral palsy material about Davey." So he goes up in front of Josh Blue. I guess it's like, you know, some people with cerebral palsy. Yeah. And he just shits on cerebral palsy for like the longest time. Some guy in the front row heckles him via Stephen Hawking voice device.
No!
Like, "You are the worst."
Yeah. No! That would be so hard
and
to
he
get.
Had nothing to come... I mean, that guy... I mean, PJ's a piece of shit. But,
yeah.
He had nothing. Like, he's like, "Fuck you, dude. Fuck. I can walk."
What's your comeback to that guy?
You got nothing.
No.
Nothing you can say.
You basically got to say...
"Good night."
Yes.
Here's Josh Blue. Here's who you came to see.
I've been introduced as Josh Blue... on radio shows.
Really?
Got to be 50, 60 times.
Seriously?
All the time.
Not that hard.
Yeah, I'm like, guys.
They're like, "Josh Blue, you get some new medication? Seems like things are going well for you."
You look great.
Josh Blue, people call me Scott Wolf. That used to happen
Scott
a lot more.
Wolf. Beowulf? You're like,
I
remember I was listening to Punch Drunk, and one of the Diaz brothers called you Dylan from 90210.
Yeah. I've been, I don't really care. As long as... If I'm still getting a paycheck, you call me whatever, though.
Do you like doing the radio or no?
I love doing morning radio.
Some people like it, some people hate it.
I love it. If you're telling me the worst part of my job is that somebody wants to talk to me in the morning.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah. Sometimes, as comics, we get petty over shit.
And come on.
Sometimes you got to slap yourself and go, "This is pretty fucking good life."
Yeah, come on.
Wait, I think comics are so set and like, I don't do early morning things.
No, man. Like, well, I've had kids for so long that... I've been getting up early for a long time.
Yeah.
So I'm up at 7 a.m. regardless.
How does that affect, though, when you're doing, I mean, I guess, you're up earlier than, like, we're late. We're like late night store guys.
Yeah, we don't get up before 4 a.m.
we're between like 11:30 and like 12:30.
Yeah,
usually.
I have to tell you, last night I was there hanging out in back.
Yeah.
And I was thinking to myself, I've never seen 90% of these people in my entire life.
Where are those guys?
I was like, who are
some
these
real
people?
Fucking night crawlers that
it's
come
like,
out?
You know what it was like? You know, like when they show video of fish that live in the bottom of the ocean that only come out at night? You're like, who? Is that one glow in the dark? Like, who the fuck?
You only get these pictures when James Cameron takes his fucking sub down. One swings by the porthole.
I'm going to get a paper towel. I just need to wipe my nose on.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Right. Go for it.
Josh Wolf taking a nose wipe break.
Oh, yeah. There's some paper towels right there in the in that corner. You need something to drink, too?
Okay. Yeah, we're those guys. I had Yakov Smirnoff ask me. I got an early main room spot, which never happens. The early show, and I was in the green room, and he's like, "Are you a comic?" Like, he thought I had like a security breach. I was like, "Yeah, yeah."
Only the last 15 years, no big deal.
I've had people say, "Are you new here?" And I'm like, "No, I've been here a long time. I worked here. I've done it all. I've been here." They're like, "Oh, okay."
Did you work the door?
I worked a lot mainly. I did a lot in door. He did like every job.
Yeah.
I did door.
Phones. I did cover booth. I did front of the OR. I sat the main room. I did back door. I've done lot.
I never had to do lot. I told her right up front. Fun. I said, I have no depth perception. I'm going to dent people's cars. You don't want me working that lot.
Oh, it's perfect.
she had me
just like Steve Guttenberg.
Yeah, he's got no depth perception either.
Twins.
I worked the door in the main room. I remember working the main room for Carlin when he was running a special. And I always assumed Carlin was, because of the way he did stand up, that he was a real free flow. Kind of off. I kind of think know what I'm going to say, but I'm kind of flowy about it. The most to the letter comic he brought. So he's going over special, and he told everybody at the front. He goes, "Here's the deal. Don't interrupt me. If you interrupt me, you're going to be asked to leave. Do not applause. You'll know when to applause when I bow. If I mess a joke up, I'm going to go back and start that whole joke over again.
Jeez. So it's like an hour long monologue.
He would. Tell you when it was okay to clap, because he would literally get it down to like whatever he wanted, 59 minute, whatever HBO needed is what he got it down
to.
He's
like, clap now. Okay. I'm going to go back into my
jokes. It was crazy. I watched all weekend and I watched him do to the breath. That's same crazy. Set four times.
I admire that, but there's no way that I could do that. Like, there has to be a certain amount of improv involved. Otherwise, it's not fun for me.
It's boring.
That's hard, too, to do exactly. It'd be stressful to be like,
yeah, because
I got to hit this mark. I got to do. And then if you don't, you're like, oh, fuck, I missed that thing.
Yeah. And to make it seem so seamless.
Yeah.
Like he did.
And
like
Robin Williams is great at that, too. Yeah. Everyone's like, oh, he didn't do any material. It's like, no one does zero material. Like, he was doing stuff.
But guys like Ian Bagg and Charles Fleischer. They're obviously not doing material, but they are. They're still doing crowd work that they've done.
If you watch them enough, you'll see the pattern and you'll go, oh, I've heard him do this. Yes. I know he's going specifically looking for this person.
Yes.
I know this is where he's going.
Like he's going to lead you to the joke he wants to tell.
Yeah.
So the lead in, the first four or five things might be different, but he's going to get you to that point where he can say the joke about you that he wants to say.
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
So that's improv. But
improv based, but like there is material there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And sometimes I have little things like that as a jumping off point, and if I get something great, then I'm fucking running with that person, whatever they're gonna say, you know?
How do you go into the crowd immediately when you get on stage?
I like to do a little something right off the bat to make myself comfortable, and then I can get into it. But also I feel it like sometimes if I see like they're not chomping on a lot of shit, then I just jump right in. And then I'll go in. But I like to have at least a certain percentage of crowd work mixed in with material and just weave back and forth. Otherwise, I don't feel
even
satisfied.
Even on shorter sets?
That's the other. Like, if you're doing like 5-8 minutes or something, it is harder. But I try to do a little bit.
Even with like a 15 minute, you two with a 15 minute?
Yeah, for me, it's become. I made the mistake of like not leaving the store. So, like, that's really all I go up. And so the late night spots, like if you don't,
you got to go to the crowd.
Yeah.
Oh,
so
yeah.
So it's become kind of, I've been kind of trapped into the just doing a lot of crowd work. But it's,
you know what's interesting?
It's good and it's also bad.
I had I brought Stephen Randolph with me on the road a couple times.
Mm-hmm.
And he works the door over at the
We love Steven.
Great dude. Guy.
Crazy stories.
Yes. Yeah. But he would get on stage, and because he was trained at the store also to have 3 minutes, bang, 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 bang. That's what you have to do when you have those spots.
Yeah. It's hard to
bang, 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 bang. And so when he was telling these stories, with a story, you got to let it breathe. It's two different skill sets. Yeah. Like I started in Seattle. We didn't have 3 minute sets. We had... When we were first starting, it was 10 or 15 minute sets.
Really?
So that's why I do long form stuff, because I learned
to do longer.
I got to fill this time.
Yeah. How did you end up in Seattle, by the way? Because there was like a scene. It was Brody, Joey Diaz.
It was me and Brody and
Joey. Lahai Fambula, the Bushman.
Yeah, the Bushman. He told one of my favorite jokes ever. He was like, I was walking out of a... And then my accent's terrible, but I'll hit it on a couple of words.
Although that's Liberian.
Okay.
That's a full-on Liberian accent.
I thought
accent.
That was in the library. Yeah.
He goes, I was walking out of a bar the other night, and I saw a wheelchair in a parking lot. And he said, man, how drunk you gotta be to forget you can't walk.
That is a great Bushman.
I've never heard that.
Yeah, no, this
we
is
know
old.
The Bushman well. He's been on this show.
Oh, has he?
Oh, man, us on episode 200. He was going to be in the live show, and he canceled.
Did he?
We haven't been the same since with him.
Really?
People love, we Bushman go way back with him.
The Bushman has great stories, and he's a charismatic motherfucker.
Yes, he is.
But he is like a lunatic.
Lahai, does he tell you about his son, a tennis player?
Oh,
Jeffrey?
His son plays overseas basketball.
Yeah.
He's like, son's like 6'9".
I know. I used
Such
to see him down in Plummer Park playing.
Yeah, the son grew up in the back of his Lexus LS400.
Man.
We always say like a snake in a cage. If he had a bigger car, he would have grown to like 7'1".
Yeah.
When we were in Seattle, Lahai was even a veteran then. So he'd get up and just
he's the Star Search
crush.
Winner.
He would crush, and we'd be
That's
like,
so
"Fucking
crazy.
Lahai, yeah, oh yeah, Brody." I live in New York with Brody.
Have you ever seen his Star Search?
No, but I have on my phone. I was just looking at it last night. Open mic lists that somebody Joey's first.
Oh, that's
On the on
Craig Gass was out there.
Gass
right?
was out there, but on This Is So Old that the open mic list doesn't say Brody Stevens; it says Steve Brody.
Back to the original.
So that was his first. I have all the guy who did the open mics kept all of them.
That's crazy.
So you could see all of it. It was pretty crazy.
How did all of you end up in Seattle?
So for me, I know I wanted to start doing stand up, and I was thinking L.A., New York, L.A., New York.
Where are you from originally?
Massachusetts.
Okay. Where are you? Because I am too.
I'm from Western Mass, like Amherst.
Okay. I'm from Andover.
Oh, there you go.
Your friend married my friend, I believe. Do you know a guy named CJ?
Chris Jolly?
Yes. He married a girl I went to high school with.
Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, she's like, do you know
Josh
Wolf? And,
yeah.
I saw her actually in the summer.
She came to my show in Boston.
She's like, and I go, yeah. I was like, we're not like tight pals. Yeah. But yeah, we know each other. And she's like, yeah, my husband like grew up with him.
Chris Jolly was insane.
I've
but
met
he
him
also,
a few times, so I don't, you know. I
he
don't,
was the first guy who taught me that when you are fingering a girl, that you should move your finger, not just leave it in there like a thermometer.
Was he like, here, let me take my finger in there for? Did he go in with you?
I used to leave it in like a thermometer. Like,
he's like, does that feel good, baby?
Oh, you're just
like, like I was taking someone's temperature.
Oh, so you're shoving it in there, holding it. You're like, how long does this take usually?
Looking at your watch,
you're like, "All right."
It
so,
was embarrassing. It was not
so then,
great.
So then you just started doing like a
no.
A,
I didn't move
fit.
It. I didn't
then,
move
but
my finger.
But after he told you, then he's like,
"Oh no!" Then
did you hook it?
No, I went in and out. No, no.
Oh, hook. Then you hooked it out. Okay,
yeah, no.
So
in
at
and
least
out.
There was movement.
Movement. Yeah.
Then you started with the movement.
So he was your finger banging coach
because he didn't even tell me. We were walking down the street in downtown Amherst, and there was a women's clothing store that had some mannequins with dresses on outside.
Josh, go finger those in front of me. Let me see it.
You're telling him a story. You're like, I fingered this girl for 8 hours.
Turns out,
finger fell asleep in there.
She was asleep. I had to sit there all night.
I saw him pretend as a joke, finger through the hole on a dress.
And your mind was blown.
Yes.
You're like,
it was
like, that's a weird technique.
I remember thinking to myself, Oh,
that's where I'm missing the
That's
boat.
Right.
It's a real like light bulb moment where you're like, oh fuck.
Got it.
It's the second
you're
step.
Supposed to move
you're
it.
You're like, can you do some fuck motions there? Because I might be missing the boat on that too.
Yo, it was, I remember it so distinctly. Like,
was he like, did you say anything?
No, oh, I don't okay. want to embarrass myself.
You didn't acknowledge it.
No,
you're
come
like,
on,
oh,
man.
I love that movement. Here's the how I move it.
Because it, when you're in high school, one, everybody's deathly afraid of being the guy that gets made fun of.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I
thought, and everyone can fall into that spot,
yes,
too.
You're, nobody's immune to that. Yeah. And for sure, the guy who doesn't move his finger when it's inside of a girl is the guy who's never going to stop hearing the end of that. I had three older brothers. I know that game. I was like, no, I'm not.
You're
telling
lucky you. The women you were with were tight-lipped, both in their pussies and their mouth.
So did you just leave it in there? Did you just like, leave it in there? You're like, oh, how do you like that?
Yeah, I think I left it in there a bunch
and
of times.
And she's like, oh, yeah, it feels great.
How do you like that consistency?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, listen. Yeah.
You're the George Carlin of fingering.
I am 100% consistent with what we're doing
You're
here.
Like, here's what's going to happen. I'm going to stick my finger in there. I'm going to leave it. You applaud when it's over.
Well, you can move at will, whatever kind of movement you like.
I'll take a bow at the end.
I'll leave it here. And
throwing a fastball right over the plate.
I'm going to tell you what's coming, and you do what you want with it. It was... So
well, I'm
was
glad
also,
that my friend is getting fingered correctly.
She is.
All these years later.
So... here's my other embarrassing high school sex story. There was a girl, and I remember the first time, this is the first time I ever went down on a girl. And we were drinking. I used to steal booze out of my parents' liquor cabinet like everybody else.
Yeah.
So we were drinking one night, and I went down on her. And the first time I ever went down on anybody, I was pretty excited. You know what I mean?
No,
I didn't really know what was happening.
Yeah. You're just like, I'm going to go down there.
Yeah.
Let's go exploring.
Yeah. But I did know that that nothing should stay still because, you know,
yeah,
I'd already
lesson.
Learned my lesson.
You're like, my finger, my tongue. Yeah. Goes.
You didn't just set the tongue on there and leave it.
No.
for like 20 minutes.
Like it was stuck like a Christmas story.
Yeah.
Pour hot water on it. It's stuck.
You're like, my parents are home. You're like, I can't get my tongue off here. We're going to have to walk like this.
So I went down on her, and I don't know how long I was down there. And I was, I don't want to say what my technique was.
But you don't want to give your secrets away.
Yeah, but I can tell you this. When I came back up, okay, this is ready for when I, as I was getting, as I was slowly kissing my way back up, I started to hear this louder and louder.
Oh.
Like, is there a bear in here?
She was out.
What the fuck?
Asleep. She was asleep, right?
And I was like, went so deep, put her ass to sleep.
I was like, this cannot be a good sign that she went.
Maybe she came so hard and then she just fucking conked out.
I like to tell myself that she had drank too much.
Ah.
And...
you're a real gentle lover.
Yeah.
You don't even know he's there.
Yeah.
Her friend has trouble sleeping, you should go, oh, you should have Joss Wolf go down on you. That'll cure your insomnia.
Yeah, you know what it's like? It's like rubbing an alligator's belly. You just want me to lick your clit for a little while.
You're the bedtime story of pussy licking.
Yeah, I'm the Dr. Seuss.
He'll put you right down.
Does it work on guys, too?
I have no idea. Why?
Yeah, sometimes I have trouble sleeping. Josh, where are you right now?
I don't
want
to take Xanax. I'm anti-drug. Yeah.
After that, did you really get like kind of crazy going down on just to make sure no one else ever
did you? Did you have a foghorn with you to keep him away?
Slapping her in the face. Stay up.
No, every now and then I just scream, look out!
And she's just constantly pinching the nipples? Hey.
No, I communicated a little better next time. I was like, hey, so...
so if you're feeling groggy.
Yeah, just give me a heads up before you fall asleep. If I can do something to help that out a little bit.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, not great.
Was it your girlfriend or was this a random...
Girlfriend. I didn't get laid a lot in high school.
You weren't Steve Guttenberg in high school.
No,
then.
I was the guy that...
show me your high school yearbook picture.
It was bad. I was the, he's my friend. He's funny and he's my friend.
Was there anybody who actually crushed in high school?
Chris Jolly.
Really?
Yeah.
Not like, people who are, end up as comedians, usually.
No, some that's of these why we're comics. Comics.
Yeah.
But old, like, the stereotypical comics.
I tell
a lot
people
of pussy.
All the time. They're like, why'd you get into, you know, you guys all seem so happy. We do. Nobody got into nobody got into stand up because we were secure with ourselves.
But childhood was so great.
Yeah,
that I want to talk about it. I want to share it with everybody and bring joy to their life.
I tell you what, I haven't had enough rejection in my life. I'm getting into stand up. I'd really like to feel bad about myself.
You know
myself.
What's funny? Having zero problems.
Yeah,
people eat it up.
It's yeah. I try to tell people. You know, one of the reasons I think that even podcasts, right? Have you done a podcast with a comic you don't know that well?
Yeah.
But there's like a level of camaraderie.
Yes.
Like I know some things about you guys without you having to tell me.
Yeah.
Do you know what
you
I mean?
You can tap into that. Real comics.
Yeah.
Like sometimes you'll do something where you're like, oh, this guy, what the fuck's going on?
But
especially store comics. Yes. Whether even they're at the same area. Yeah, like we have something in common that we can go to if all else fails. We at least have that.
I really feel like what Mitzi did more than the other two in the improv and the Laugh Factory, and one is not better than the other. I think just she was more into the island of broken toys than especially when Bud was there, it was a buttoned up, these are the TV guys, and do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, but the store was always a place where you felt like you could go and see people who were more fucked up than you.
Well, I think she was. We were there the tail end of her. Like when we got there, she was already, you know, declining,
starting to slip. I mean, we'd showcase for her, and she would
like
fucking hate us. Like she's just like
we had to go up in front of her so many fucking times.
Did they, you
got to the point where like we were like, I don't want to go up, like, because you could get fired if she didn't like your set, like from your just sheer shitty job that you hated.
Highly illegal stuff now. But
yeah, probably frowned upon.
Like
now.
I'll fire
you
for parking car. You're like, wait, I don't even like parking cars, but like I don't want to get thrown out of here either.
Yeah.
And so we'd be like, I'm not going up. I've been up in front of
how many times did you
just like
I think 30s? I did.
What?
Yeah, I mean,
we went from front of her a lot.
I'd say probably high teens to low 20s. But like, you know how it was when she would ice a room.
Yes.
And so the only time I've ever been up and I couldn't catch my breath was in front of her once, where my breathing was so shallow. And I was like, holy shit, like what's going on? I can't get my words out. Only time that's ever happened to me was in front of Mitzi once.
She's just eating popcorn, loving it. And with a light on her face, you can see how much.
And then like Ari would be in the back, like laughing. Like, you know, because he would host and we were the young guys. He's, you know, he was the senior and we were the freshmen. And he'd be like, oh, nice job, stupid. Couldn't get your words out.
Yeah, everyone would love, like, it wasn't like, oh, you'll get him next time. I was like, you fucked up. You're never going to work here again.
By the way, one of my favorite things about the store in those Monday nights, and I haven't been there in a long time, so I don't know if that's how it is anymore. But I would love the fact that the comic who was running the show would get on stage and insult you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It kept you honest.
It was part of the deal. You know, I don't know if they... I don't think people do it as much as they used to. But it used to, you would always say something. You'd spend a couple minutes poking fun of the person who went on just before you.
He and I hosted for 4 years. So like he would do, one of us would do Sunday and one of us do Monday for 4 years. And that was basically the platform of our, like you get so bored and you see the same people. And if like somebody was really funny and they didn't do well, but you know, you could tell, you're like, oh, that guy's going to be pretty fucking good. You would usually leave him alone, but sometimes you see the people doing the same fucking material and it hasn't worked for like the past 2 years and you're like, I'm fucking tired of this and like, I'm just going to go off on this.
Or people who are assholes. Who are like, get me up. I'm unbelievable. And then they bomb. You're like, I'm coming after you.
Yeah, hard.
Who was, I'll tell you who are, for me, when I was doing that open mic, there was a guy named Franklin Yu.
I don't know.
He wasn't there for us.
No, Franklin was
Gaylord there for you? Gaylord Dingler, the great...
No.
Machine ripped his leg off. So thank you.
It was Gaylord Dingler. So Franklin would do the same set every time. Mm-hmm. Who was your guy? It was so repetitive and ridiculous.
Are you talking like a normal or a lunatic?
A lunatic. Comical. Oh, yeah. That it was comical.
And we had a bunch.
Scotty Barron.
Scotty Barron.
Woo! Oh, Scotty Barron.
Scotty Barron.
The late great. Now, he passed away. Great guitar strummer.
Tony Falcone.
Oh, I don't think I remember Tony.
He was a homosexual fellow. Even he would do a bit. 1 out of 10 people are gay. He was like 60 years old, which is always an open mic. Everyone's so young.
Yeah, that's always a good one.
Here's
this
grown man, like older man, and then he's like, 1 out of 10 guys are gay, and then he would count. But that back then it was so sparse, it'd be like 4 people, and he would
have to recount.
Keep going. One, two, then he'd go back to one. Like that's not how statistics work, man.
Yeah, you don't get to count the same person
you don't
twice.
Start over.
And then he'd be like, surprise. But like to the he was a car like every time, exactly.
Mickey was a guy.
Ziggy. Ziggy? She would sing.
Gaylord.
Ziggy did a great Judy Garland impression. Very topical. Always good.
Nick Country.
Yeah, we had a lot.
We had a lot of loot. Like, I remember we were doing the open mics. There was only like three normal people. It was
but the
like,
lunatics were what made that night great.
Oh, it was amazing. Once like when they got rid of them, it took a lot of the character away from that open mic.
A lot of culture left.
Yeah.
So I remember Joey Diaz came in one. He would come in. I think he realized he could come in and do early spots on those nights and then take off.
Yes.
And so he would come in.
He would host the second half.
Yeah.
He'd bring up two people and then he'd get the fuck
I remember
out.
That.
He'd do his act up front.
Yeah, yeah.
Bring up a, I'm out of here, Costa. Yeah. Somebody take over.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
And we'd be like, oh, you're leaving already? Yeah, I got fucking shit to do. I got to go. But I think he was just up there to buy Coke, do a spot, and
from
get the
Chewy.
Fuck out.
But
yeah.
he would come in and shit on like people we knew. Like, oh, so like these guys like have been, like he hated Scotty Barron. He would sometimes throw ice cubes at him. Fuck you, buddy, Scotty Barron, you
dude,
motherfucker.
We were, so he and I started in Seattle. And there was this guy who did impersonations. Okay, and so his voice, he was terrible at impersonations. Terrible. But his voice naturally sounded like Jimmy Stewart. No matter what he said, he always sounded like. So we used to tell him, do your impersonation of Jimmy Stewart doing impersonations.
Yeah.
That might be funny. And he was like, I don't know what you're talking about. And I was like, got it. And so what he would do is he would stand and he would say, this is my impersonation. Say he was going to do Robin Williams. And he'd look at the crowd and then he'd turn.
Oh, we know.
And then he'd turn back. Okay.
Was his name Kevin? Because there's a guy at the store who did that.
I don't remember.
A paid regular.
Oh, no, that's
he would turn,
not.
And he would do all the bits.
Do you remember Kevin Rook?
I don't.
Okay. Well, that was his style, too.
He would turn, and you'd be like, oh, here he comes. He's coming back.
Well, he's coming back. With
but who's he coming back as?
Joey Diaz screamed at this guy once. He was like, I'm going to do an impersonation. And Joey goes, do your impersonation of a comic, cocksucker.
And that crushed.
Oh, yeah. Joey, and you could see the dude crack on stage. Just
Joey Diaz heckling you, that's a tough uphill battle. The voice is booming. He's funny.
He's funny.
Charismatic as fuck. Like,
I gotta tell you,
the
man,
room.
Starting up there with Joey and Brody.
It's a weird threesome, by the way.
Well,
the three of you are very different.
It couldn't be any more different, but for me,
you were probably the bridge between Joey and Brody.
I learned so much from those guys because when they first started, they were completely different comics, but they had the same problem isn't the right word, but they had the same things they needed to learn, which was their material is not going to be anywhere near as funny as they are.
Yeah.
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 Both like extreme characters.
Right. Joey was always, they were both funniest when they bombed and then they went off.
Yeah.
Like a Brian Holtzman.
Yes.
As well.
The first time we saw Brody go off, he was bombing like Brody bombed better than anybody.
You wanted to see Brody bomb because
as a comic,
it was so funny.
What ensued was amazing.
Yeah.
So the first time he's doing his jokes and they're terrible. And he was like, listen, people, do you know how? And he was like, I'm stressed out. He said, do you know how hard it is for a single man who lives by himself to shave his back? And he goes, I got trouble spots. And he lifts up his shirt. He turns around and there were literal patches where you could see he shaved. It looked like a tic-tac-toe set on his back.
My arms are short.
It
you
would.
Get it.
I've got median strips on my back highway.
I have a razor. Someone come up here.
It was amazing.
Because his
was,
roommate, I remember at the memorial, said Brody would ask him to shave his back. It was another guy, too, I'd never seen. A guy who had, like, glasses.
Oh, he's like,
forget his name. Not Tana. It was another dude.
From Seattle?
He could have been New York.
Yeah, I think it was New York.
But he said he had to shave his back as part of living with him, which is a tough ass.
That's not a good one.
It's a weird way to get jumped into the Brody gang.
Tana was the funniest out of all of us.
Really?
Not even close.
Wow.
Not even close. Not even. It wasn't even close. He was writing jokes and executing them at a high level.
Early on.
It was so crazy to see. We were all like, this motherfucker.
But do you find that guys that are good right out of the box usually end up not sticking with it? And the guys that aren't great right out of the box end up usually becoming like the best people 20 years later?
My theory for Tana, because I can only speak for him, and this is my theory on him, is there was a couple things. One, he loved the camaraderie and the run and gun, guerrilla, none of us have any money or anything like that, but let's sit at the Hurricane Cafe from 1 to 4 a.m. and write jokes and all drink out of the same pot of coffee. That kind of excitement. You know when you're a young comic and you still have hope?
You
know, like, this is fun.
That feel?
Yeah.
He loved that. He hated the business side of it. And he just wasn't good at it.
So he's just like an artist.
Just was not good at it. And so when the business started, even with Brody, I think, when he needed it to be serious and needed, it was just tougher for Tana. You'd have to ask him. That was me looking from the outside.
Yeah.
But he was far and away the funniest out of all of us.
Remember, he would come in and, this is my friend, Tana. He's from Seattle. He gets it. He would be at the store every now and then.
Yeah.
So he would be used to seeing him around.
Man.
Really?
Yeah.
That's crazy. I didn't know. That's very interesting information.
It was out of all of us, and he was young and handsome, Samoan, so looked different, but...
Yeah, not a lot of Samoan comics.
No,
out there.
Not under 450 pounds.
Well, I could go to the NFL or I could do stand-up comedy.
How many diabetes jokes do I know?
Yeah.
Or as my wife's family from Louisiana calls it, the sugars. You got the sugars?
Diabetes. No,
but that's I mean, that is the thing. Brody became consumed with the business because he would always be like, who's doing what? Should I be doing what they're doing? People are surpassing me. I don't know what to do. Like, that always plagued him.
Well, you know what I think? And it's interesting because, you know, the grass is always greener, right? But he and I would talk and he would be... Jealous isn't the right word, but he was always like, I would like a measure of that success. And I was always like, I would like a measure of that respect you get from the other comics.
Yes. Yeah, that's what he didn't understand it.
No, he didn't. But for
like,
me,
he almost wished he could have sat at his own memorial to hear all the, like, he would have been like, wow, this is Zach's here. And Bradley Cooper.
John Hamm?
Yes.
Or he would have loved it. Todd Phillips came out to see me.
Yeah. He really would have.
I would have been in the Joker.
He would have been,
in the Joker.
100%.
Yeah, that is a good point. I didn't think of that.
Yeah. Well,
yes.
We'll make
you
sure.
You got it, Joker.
Yeah. Gary Goldman? No way. Brody Stevens. Yes.
Did you ever do stand up in Boston?
I didn't. The reason I went to Seattle is because I didn't want to compete with the best people in the world for stage time. That was it. I was like, wait, I could go to Seattle and get on stage every night for longer, or I could go to New York and LA and really just what I thought of is just doing 3 minutes at a time.
Oh, you had that sort of grasp at like a young age?
Yeah.
How did you pick Seattle? You just knew it was a scene out there?
I called.
Okay.
So I called,
like, feeling around.
Yeah, this was pre-internet, so I called. I was like, "What's going on up there?" I called the Comedy Underground.
Oh, really?
And I was like, "What? How do you get on stage?" And said, "We have open mic." I go, "What? What else?" And then,
so yeah, it's like a strong grasp as a young, getting in the game.
I didn't.
I saw the E! True Hollywood Story on the Comedy Store, and I go, "Well, I guess that's where you have to go."
Yeah, but I was like, though, it's where the greats go. I'm not great. And I don't want to go be not great in front of the greats.
Yeah.
Because then you're always that guy.
Yeah, yeah.
There's always a certain measure, like, guys who started before you, who you saw at an open mic, that you're always like, no, that's not an open mic forever, but, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah. It's true, though. If you look at the people that came up through the Comedy Store system, unless you became, like, you got on a show or something like that, you are still towards the bottom of the list, and most of the new guys that came in that had
big credits
or big headliners are packed into the middle.
Yes.
Because they're like, oh, yeah, no, I mean, that's, you know, O'Neill's, I remember O'Neill started here and fucking just fucking tanking it and shit.
So I was like, I don't want to, when I get to LA, I want people to be like, oh.
Smart move.
He knows how to stand it. Little did I know, when you got here, you had to start over anyways.
But you were still like,
started over.
You were
polished.
You had some sheen on you.
I didn't have to get in front of Mitzi 37 times.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man, you look like Steve Gutenberg.
I love Police Academy.
Do that noise with your mouth. No, it's Michael Winslow.
Take your shirt off.
Take my shirt off.
You're like, yeah, she would do that. You're like a black Steve Gutenberg. I want you to go in blackface.
There were guys there who were cursed with, like, he reminds me of so and so. And then, like, once you reminded her of so and so, like, you were out. Like, we already have one of that.
Oshak.
Man, Oshak to me, he used to host.
Fucking hilarious.
You remember when he used to host the open mics?
No, he was a little before us.
Yeah.
He was, for me, the best because super nice, really quick, but so likable that he could make his insults seem like he was not insulting.
He has like a Midwestern charm.
Yeah.
Very down home. Like, oh, he's a nice, it's like Bob. He's
and
a nice
little
guy.
Bit of a Letterman-esque.
That's what she didn't like. Yeah. She's like, he's too much like David.
But he was so good.
He was great.
He was so good.
I think if he really wanted to stick with it, he would be big. Yeah. He would be big now. I mean, He had other. He wanted to write. I mean, he's doing fucking well. I mean,
he was the head writer on my talk show.
Oh yeah, and then now he's at Bill Maher.
Yeah.
He's kind of just gone one gig to the next. A good run.
He is a joke machine. When I would come in the morning, he would have 2 pages of jokes, like legitimate hard jokes, and best thing about writing with him, he's not precious about any of them.
He's like, oh, you don't like it? All right, I got more.
Yeah, you want another? I'll just write another 2 pages.
Some people are so good at that. I would fucking, that's my worst nightmare would be writing jokes every day for a talk show. Like, I couldn't do it. I'm not equipped for it.
I really wanted to learn the skill. So I did write for Chelsea, which wasn't like as much of the straight jokes.
Yeah.
But I went and wrote for Foxworthy on Fifth Grader.
Okay.
Because I knew I was going to have to write, because it was in syndication, so we had to do 4 shows a day, and I had to write
shows a day.
I had to write a joke for every question. So, you know, astrology,
yeah,
astronomy. I'm like, hey, listen, not that funny, and you know, with astronomy, there's only so many Uranus jokes I got.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. And Mars not funny.
Yeah,
Jupiter not funny. Uranus is it, but. I took that job because I was like, I need to learn how to write jokes. And so I had to write one-liners for Foxworthy, probably 40 or 50 a night.
God damn. Yeah, that's a lot. Like, we've worked with other comics, like shaping their hour and stuff. And it's fine for the money, but man, does it become just monotonous.
Yeah.
Where you're like, I'd almost rather go get a regular job right now.
Yeah.
It's like having to fucking do this all the
time. There's a grind to it for sure.
Yeah,
was your talk show like? Did it feel ever like a grind? Or was
not
it,
for me, because as
the your show,
the host, yeah. it was you were bouncing around a lot,
and you get to deliver the jokes
and decide which ones, and it was doing that show was eye opening.
In what respect?
I was like, never again am I ever doing anything. If the ship's going down, I'm wearing the captain's hat.
Okay.
I'm not deferring anymore.
Got it.
I'm just not, because I would rather have something fail because of my choice. Yeah.
If it's going to sink, it's going to be only because of me.
Yes. Look, if it's going to sink, I might as well get my idea in there.
Yeah.
And so, by the way, this show that I do now, The Control Chaos, is 100% just everything I've ever wanted to do with a show. It's weird. I shoot it over that stage, Gino, the Speedweed stage.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, they have a trap door that leads underneath the stage.
Oh, do they?
So we developed
is that for the DA?
Yeah. We developed a character called the man who lives under the stage, and he just opens the door, and we cut to him on the show. It's weird.
I love it, though.
It's weird.
Yeah, but you can do what you fucking want to do now.
Yeah.
That's the thing, like this. It's tough, though, for guys like us in our age. Like, you're still kind of stuck in that Hollywood mentality.
Yeah.
Like, I need this business to like me. But the truth is, you don't anymore. You just need fans. That's it.
You don't. Like, I keep thinking, what network can I get to? Network.
Yeah.
YouTube is a network.
It is.
You have access.
It's the biggest network in the world.
You have it's something crazy. Like, 72% of comedy is consumed on Netflix.
Yeah, no, Netflix, like, fucking...
I mean YouTube.
Netflix is crazy, too, in terms of specials. But,
YouTube. I mean, look at all these YouTube, like, people have, I don't know who any of these fuck, but they're making fucking crazy money.
My career, I'm not, okay. So maybe a year and a half ago, I was telling my wife, I might have to stop doing stand-up, or at least just not go on the road, because the Chelsea frenzy had just died down. Those yeah. were never, they were never really my fans. They were obviously her fans. It was her show, and my ticket sales were just not, and what the money people were offering was not.
You're like, it's not worth it. I'll just fucking stay home.
It's not worth it.
And work in LA.
So, but so I started just putting things on YouTube, and I never. My I have long form story. The shortest clip is like 7 minutes, 6 minutes, something. I was like, people don't watch this shit. And someone told me, no, it's changing around. People used to think 3 minutes are under, 3 minutes are under. That's not it at all.
Yeah.
And so I think in a year and a half, I've gained, no joke, I think 1 million followers.
Oh, no shit.
And just from, and it changed. And so I used to wonder how these YouTube people aren't doing it. I'm like, oh yeah, they come. The YouTube fans come out.
Yeah,
but I really had started to look for another job.
You do a lot of shit on Instagram too, right? You do the parent advice. I've seen.
Yeah,
I have a young daughter. So
how old?
She's a year and a half, just a touch older. But yeah, I see. Like, one that stuck out to me was someone asked, because the people ask you questions.
Yeah,
right? And it was like, should I allow my kid into the bathroom with me? And you were talking about like reading the book Brown Bear, Brown Bear, which is a book that my daughter routinely brings to me to read. But it's just funny to hear.
What's the answer?
Well, I said yes, but you know, basically, as long as you don't mind reading the book like this, Brown Bear, what do you see?
Because you're gonna. And you were like, as long as they're not like 10 years old, like it depends on their age. Yeah, like, if they're 10, no, like, if
they're like
23 years old.
But when people ask the parenting questions, so much of it does depend on the age.
Yes.
They're like, what if I caught my son? I'm like, how old is he? What if I caught my son masturbating? How old is he?
With a rope around his neck. Yeah. Like, whatever age is cool.
As long as he's over 10, he's fine.
Yeah, man.
What if my son walks on me doing the suicide cast in my garage?
Have you had a question that's so fucked up, you're like, I don't even want to address this online?
Just the ones that are too serious. I get a lot of questions from kids about their parents.
Okay. Oh, that's it. What if I walk in on my dad masturbating?
No, but like real.
You're like, I'm not Dr. Drew.
Like some real sad, disturbing
shit? My dad and I have a really bad relationship. He ignores me. How can I get him to notice me? And I just, for me, like, I can't make a joke about it.
Oh, yeah.
And so.
Say that kid ends up like, something, and he writes Josh Wool. Like, you're like, okay.
As a comic, though, you are tempted to give him some real.
Oh, there are some where I'll call my wife. I'm like, listen, I got this question. I'm going to just tell you what I was going to post.
Yeah. Like, I need an outlet for this because it's so fucking good. This kid, it would crush, but it would ruin this kid's life. Yeah. But I need someone to fucking acknowledge it.
All right, you pretend you're the kid.
Yeah. Listen, I know you already know I'm a bad person. So this isn't going to. This isn't going to change.
You can't cancel me. You've already stayed with me this long.
This isn't going to change your
opinion. She dies laughing. She goes, that's super fucked up. That would have crushed that kid.
Well, my wife is just a nice person, though. She doesn't. Most of the time, she's like, why do you say that stuff?
But she laughs.
No.
She doesn't.
Okay. She also doesn't get, you know.
Doesn't hate you.
No, she gets it. She understands that
I think most people who get with comics are like,
I
know what I'm signed up
for. Well, you wouldn't last long.
No.
Because you're going to know within the first fucking month.
Yeah,
the insanity
this person
comes
is
out.
Fuck
yeah.
up.
Yeah, like the people they know are fucked up.
Yeah, like, the things they say out loud to each other
the
are fucked up.
Scene they're involved in.
If the normals heard just a conversation with six comics in a room, you'd be like, "What
They'd
are
be
you
horrified.
Fucking talking about?" There's no line. There's no
bad people. I think people think that's bad, but it's like there is no racism because everyone gets shit on. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you make jokes about people being black, and they can make jokes about I'm Jew. Like, you know, go back and
100%
forth.
100%. Nobody's feelings get hurt,
and people would be like, "Oh, that's great," but it's like, no, it's way more healthy.
Yeah, and you're taking the sting off of all of it.
Yeah,
because for me, it's all about intent, right? So when you're sitting around with a bunch of comics, unless one of them's PJ. You know, everybody's, you know.
Yeah.
Everybody's cool.
Everybody's cool.
It's
right?
cool.
Everybody's
cool.
Yeah, we're not doing CP jokes.
Yeah.
But
and everybody knows the guys also who are like, Oh no, they mean what they say on the history. Yeah, like,
Kevin
okay.
Brennan.
Yeah.
Yeah, but like that's like in a writer's room. So I've written on a couple of sitcoms. Writer's rooms are as dark. Okay, so one night my daughter was probably 7, 8 maybe. And she came and we were working on Radford and I was living across the street. And so I used to walk. And so my daughter and my wife walked over one night because my daughter wanted to say goodnight to me because we were working late. So she comes in and she was wearing her PJs, right? Cute little PJs. And she comes in. She goes, "I just wanted to say goodnight, Daddy." And I go, "Goodnight, babe." And she came over and gave me a kiss. And she goes, "Goodnight, everybody. Say goodnight." And everyone goes, "Goodnight." And then the head writer, the door shut. And he stands up and he unbuckles his pants. He goes, "Yep, say goodnight to your virginity." And he starts to walk out of the room, right? Now.
Yeah, now that would be.
Everybody was laughing, yeah. Including me, because what a ridiculous thing to say to out loud, right?
But out of context, that people are like, he's a monster. He's going to have sex with a child. Like,
we
no,
clearly
he
know he's not following my daughter.
Yes.
But it was just the fact that she said, "Say goodnight." And he was like, "Yep. Say goodnight." And it was just like,
yeah. And you've been there so long, everyone's delirious, and you're like, that's fucking great.
But those jokes, this is going to sound weird, allow creativity because you're like, oh, I can really pitch anything.
Yeah. 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 You have to have that. Yeah, it's a safe space.
Yeah. There's nothing
safe to do whatever the fuck you want.
But now if there was like, it'd take one person, more than likely a lady, in that room to be like, I don't like that. That guy's fucked.
Well, I think writer's rooms, because I think there was that lawsuit on Friends. Do you remember years ago, the one of the writer's assistants sued in the writer's room because she felt it was. I forget what the
toxic.
Yeah, but it was like, you know, it was threatening and sexually offensive. Yeah. The ruling came back in favor of the writer's room, which was because all the writers testified like this is how it goes. This is the deal. This is the process. Yeah. This is what happens.
This is the environment.
Yeah. And so I don't think the writer's rooms, but that writer's room in Chelsea was brutal. Not brutal as in bad to be in there,
but like
each other.
Woo!
Back and forth.
Oh boy!
Yeah,
it got rough. But funny, man. Funny.
Yeah.
Don't do this to me, guys. I need to warm up that crowd,
man. And also, but like that's the thing. Like, it's just individuals. We know so many female comics that would fucking would kill in a fucking writer's room. Would have no problem with it. It's just an individual. It's like one person who. Whatever their issue is, it's
I don't think it's killed. I mean, if anybody who watched Joey Diaz's set last night, there's some people who still don't give a fuck.
Joey Diaz is going to do what he does, I'll regardless of climate. Anything.
He right now, I would put 15 minutes of him on fire. His 15 minutes in the OR bringing that roof down, which we've all seen. I would put his 15 minutes of that, of him, up against anybody.
When he's on fire, he is hard to fucking, like, it's insane. Like, it's almost like he reaches this level where you're like, I don't know if I could ever get to that.
Yeah.
No, I agree with you.
It's the perfect storm of, like, insanity, but it's funny. He's like it's just everything.
That's
like,
why
anger.
If Netflix really wanted to do something, they should just follow Joey Diaz and Brian Holtzman around, film 5 fucking sets. One of them is going to be unfucking believable.
Yep.
And you put that out there, and everyone be like, "What? I've never seen anything like this
funniest
in my
person
entire
I've
life."
Ever seen. Yeah.
Yes.
Do you follow Holtzman on social media?
Instagram. Yeah.
It's
unbelievable.
It's Wednesday, and
thank God it's Tuesday. It's so crazy.
It's one of the greatest additions to Instagram.
It's like your old uncles like realize like, oh, there's this new outlet they have out there.
Yeah, I'm at the movies today. It's a good day to go to the movies.
The pajama top. Yeah.
Here's a review of the latest.
He loves Tarantino's latest film.
All his medical problems.
Did you see
the guy lives in his building? What's his name? He looks like Obama.
Oh yeah.
I think it's like Edward, something like that.
Or what is? I'm here with my brother Jay.
His brother's a fucking brother. Never talks. He just gives that look.
He was one of the first guys. I remember when there was an airline crash in the crash in the ocean, and it was like a passenger plane, so a lot of people died. And he went up the night after and did this joke about, is it really bad? And I'm not going to do it justice. I can't do him at all.
Yeah.
But the premise was, but is it really bad to go take their wallets? That was basically the the whole premise was, but it's going to sink if we don't go get it. Is it really bad?
What's he going to go there with?
I heard his 9/11 thing. Like the night of 9/11, he went in there and everyone was Stanhope was like, it's the greatest thing I've ever seen. I didn't agree with 90% of the shit he was saying, but it was so fucking funny where he was talking about all the first responders and how people were applauding him. And he's like, they were doing their fucking job. That's what they get paid. And you know how Holtzman is. You're just laughing. You're like, I don't agree with any of this.
Yeah.
I was there the night that he did the Thailand tsunami. And he went, it was the next night. For that whole week after the tsunami, he was just doing this fucking tsunami material that was so insane and was crushing so hard with it. It was the funniest shit I've ever seen, but it was so fucking dark and insane.
And here's the thing with Joey right now. Joey, there was always 5 or 10% of him that still held back just a little. Right now, I saw him last night and I asked him afterwards, I'm like, you don't give a fuck anymore. He goes, nah. He was like that.
I think he's realized I don't need the industry to
No, he doesn't.
I can't be who I am. I have a following. I don't need
it. And it took him years to harness how funny off stage he was. When you're that level of funny, it does take you decades to harness that and bring it to stage. And I think now he's finally as funny on stage as he is off stage.
And you can't look past. Think about the things he says on stage. Nobody's ever offended.
Yeah.
He's so charming.
No, it's
it's remarkable.
I did. Tommy sent me down to La Jolla. It was a weirdo. It was me, Ren Azizi, Joey Diaz, and Sean Polofsky. And he pitched me on, you're Jewish. You can do it. Okay. It's the Christmas week. I was like, okay.
Didn't he also say and now you can fuck Sean Polofsky?
Yeah. I was like, wait, what? I was like, is that part of the deal?
Does she know about this?
Is that in the contract?
Did she sign?
Are we all sleeping at the condo?
Are we all fucking there? It's just me?
Oh my
and also
God.
After me, Cox. Polofsky wasn't like that at all. That wasn't
that's not hair move.
Yeah,
I was
know.
What? What are you talking about?
So just classic Tommy.
So Diaz, I didn't know this, but he would never stay in the Comedy Store condo because he said a rat ran over someone's face. Or
was
something.
It Schubert's face?
He's like, a rat fucking ran over somebody's face. I ain't staying in that fucking place.
There was Carl LeBeau's semen still on the fucking window.
Yeah,
shades.
No, they redid it, but
I'm not. You know what I mean?
No,
he
wasn't in the wrong.
Oh, yeah.
Sam Kinison's shit streaks were still on the toilet.
Yeah.
So he was driving down and Ren Azizi was going up and he'd nowhere to be seen. And Ren Azizi's like, should you want to give me a sign if I have to keep going? And they're like, hopefully he'll be here. So he shows up. He's wearing a fucking long sleeve white t-shirt, and he shows up with a Chinese food buffet for himself. And he just sets it on the bar, out there. And he's just eating it. I'm like, this guy, this confidence, and he's not going to drop anything on this white shirt. And he's so calm. And he's eating, Lou from La Jolla, the keyboardist?
Yeah, yeah.
And so he's just hovering. I've told this story before. He's hovering around Joe, and he's like, hey, where's that from, Joey? And he's like, across the street, Lou. And he's like, it looks pretty good. And he's like, yeah, yeah. And he goes back to eating. And he's like, how are those wontons? They're good, Lou. And then 5 minutes later, those wontons look pretty good. You want fucking want a wonton? You fucking asked me for a fucking wonton, Lou. You don't fucking beat around the bush. I do want one. I was dying. I was crying. Just the fucking exchange.
I can see him snapping. You want a fucking wonton, Lou? You want a fucking wonton?
He hated that he wouldn't ask
for it. No, that would burn him up.
And then we used to go down there, and then we'd always go to Lou and be like, hey, man, good wontons lately, Woo?
He never would get, the game would be get Lou to say wonton. He'd be like, not really. So anyways, Diaz goes up after eating this huge, I'm like, I'd be tired. So he eats all the food, goes up.
It's Christmas Day?
It was Christmas, I think Christmas Eve. And the crowd was, who's going to a club?
Yeah.
No.
So there's 30, 40 people. And he's doing it. He's like, Merry fucking Christmas. He gets into immediate, I used to gay bash in New York.
but didn't say gay. He was using the hard F.
Yeah, yeah.
And people are he was on fire. People were dying. I'm like, this is Christmas Eve. This guy's like, I admit that I did gay bash people to the point of violence sometimes. And people were loving it.
He used to tell that story on stage about how he used to gay bash, but the story he would tell is about him getting beat up by a gay guy.
Oh, I forget the end, but yeah, it was like, yeah. It was crazy. That was
He
hit a guy and it didn't knock him out, and the guy beat the shit out of him. Like, but that charm.
And he was a train. Once he got moving and you were on board with him, he could go anywhere. It didn't fucking matter what he said. He's one of the only guys that I've ever seen where, like, once he gets going and the momentum has built, it doesn't matter what the fuck he says or does. Like, you're on board, and he crushes.
And sometimes he can say things that don't make sense, and you're still laughing. There was one show. There was two Asian girls sitting in the front row, and he goes, oh, look at you two. You make me want to go home and play Karate Kid with myself.
Like, what does it mean?
Doesn't make any sense, but the whole room started laughing. It makes zero sense, but that shit made me laugh.
You remember used to scream science. You
science!
Know, science! And people would die.
Yeah, we'd be like, what is this? Like, I remember I watched him, but why is he screaming science? And to this day, I have no idea why, but it was just like a catchphrase that he would yell out.
He used to do that shit all the time.
Science! Science, motherfucker!
Science!
But even the way he talks, I would see it, not like I would see it in other comics. Like, yes. He'd be like, listen, Jack. And then you would hear it in other, like, people would start picking up on his little.
Brody was like that too. Brody's cadence, like, I mean, we all went through a Brody phase in
without
our career.
Because everyone imitates him. And you can easily slip. You're like, oh, I just did like 5 minutes in a Brody cadence.
He has the perfect comedic cadence.
But he also is the first guy I ever saw who can make you laugh with facts.
Yeah.
That wasn't a joke. That was did you just tell me your GPA? Yeah, but apple cider vinegar? Is that what we're laughing at?
Did you just tell me the record of some high school team in the Valley?
Yeah. Did you just name 8 mascots from Indiana? Yeah.
Yes. Tarzana, Spartans, you got it.
Yeah.
It's I don't know why that's funny. It's funny.
Always funny. Always.
He was fucking.
Always. Bombing. And also, so we didn't write a lot, but the bits that he had. He had funny fucking bits.
Yep.
Really memorable. Funny bits.
If you complimented him, he hated a compliment. It's an old throwaway. You're like, he's complimented him once, and he's like, it's just an old standard. He's like, no, I'm saying I like it.
He like got into that. Oh, that one? I don't do it much anymore. I was like, no, I'm saying I like it, bro.
Yeah, we're in favor of this.
Yes.
But he still didn't take
No. One of my favorite jokes was that he used to tell a joke about watching Finding Nemo and overshooting his nut rag.
It wasn't the tag. It was on a PlayStation.
Yeah. I love his Brokeback. I went to see Brokeback Mountain. I said, 2 tickets, 1 adult, 1 child.
Man, let me ask you something. When you were doing the open mics, were there any comics who you thought, oh, this comic is going to be great, and they just never...
Jim Painter.
Painter. He was. I mean, he was an employee.
Describe Jim Painter to me.
Looked kind of like Skeletor.
Yeah,
his
I know.
Voices
who you're talking
were
about.
All like,
hey, what are we doing?
Yeah, what happened to Jim Painter?
He just stopped doing
most
stand-up.
Influential comic of our generation.
He just stopped. He's just like, I don't. This isn't bad. Bad for my mental health. I gotta go.
Never
came back.
Trying to think who else. Man, was there somebody? Like, here's the problem: is that when we were doing the open mic, it was like him, me, Mark Ellis, a dude named BJ Bales.
Ingram was came a little before us, but he was around.
Anthony Jesselneck was kind of in there. And I don't even remember seeing him that much at the open mics.
He wasn't there a lot.
But he was there. And that was kind of it. And then it was just
insanity.
So it was like 5 normals and 15 lunatics.
When did the crazies stop going to the open mic?
They cleaned it up when we were hosting, as they switched from the Buck the Drawing system to we'll give you stage time. So they controlled it.
How, and is that where they tried to get rid of the bananas?
They would put like 1 or 2, but it did the show lost a lot of the flair.
It was like handpicked. They're like, we'll have Boone on, or we'll have.
Are there any crazies now, or is it all comics?
I think a little, but not a lot.
I don't think there are. I think it's mostly normal, because now it's packed. There's 100 people. And I.
Wait, in the audience?
Yeah.
Oh, it's packed.
Oh, it's a different
time. It's sold out, usually. Like, there's people waiting for people to leave so that they can get tables.
Sometimes early?
No, it's crowd.
It's a real crowd. Sometimes early, it takes a while, but like by the end, it'll be packed.
When I show up, I get there at like 9:30, throw my name in the bucket for the second half of the paid regular portion, and it is, I mean, it's 100% sold out. I mean, you know, they see 55 comics legitimately, so when you go in there, you're going to have to wrangle them like when I go up. Like if you go after 10 o'clock, you're going to have to fucking put the work in. But I feel bad for the employees because, you know, you don't want to be the guy that bombs that night trying out new shit. So I think a lot of people do the shit they know that works a lot of times. Whereas like when we did it, there was no crowd. You experiment all you fucking want.
But for me, the original room, that's what that used to be. Because there was nobody in there Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday.
Yeah. You were there, because when we started working there, that place was empty.
Empty.
Like the whole club was empty.
So you'd go on. Oh, there were no shows in that main room except Friday and Saturday.
That, yeah,
and then when we got there, it was only Sunday. Like, I don't even know if they had like a Saturday show anymore.
The only people in the room on Wednesday and Thursday were me and Jimmy Schubert doing coke.
Yeah. And like a random guy playing the piano.
Yeah. It really did turn in like, you're like, wait, what are people doing in the fucking main room? This is where we party.
People would fuck in that green room all the time.
Oh like, my God.
I gotta go fuck in there. You're like, wait, is there a show? Yeah. No, there's no show.
Oh, you'd walk in and you'd be like, or somebody would take someone in there. You're like, oh, we're gonna go watch underneath the door, watch them fuck.
That place was, it has always been a little insane. It's a well-run business now.
But it's
now it's
hilarious to me that they actually have like management and they have like a president
bunch of managers there. Like,
it's hard for me to wrap my head around
the employees of like Old Navy, walkie-talkie. Yeah. Like, what are you, who are you talking to?
Were you there when Chewy was there?
I was there right at the tail end of Chewy, but he would still come around so he could sell. But,
out of his hat, all the bags he sold were moist because he sweat.
In his fedora,
he would put those little sacks in his fedora, and he would take them out. And you're like, this is moist, man.
He was the best dressed Coke dealer because he would come in,
but he would go across the street to House of Blues.
Oh, okay, yeah,
and he would come. Sell over there in that full. Sometimes you'd walk in, Chewy just wouldn't be at the front door. You're like, where is he? He's selling across the street.
He's working.
Yeah. His second job.
He's not working here. Yeah, he's over there.
What was the other Harris?
Harris Pete. Oh. I was there. I worked with Harris. He hated me because I wouldn't steal.
What a nice guy.
And so he wouldn't work with he wouldn't work with Nick Youssef and I because these fucking guys. Because we wouldn't steal, so then he's like, fuck these guys. We're not going to make any money.
He hated me.
You were like the good cops in the 70s New York.
Yeah, I was don't want to fuck. I don't know what the fuck's going on.
You're Serpico.
Mitzi knows about this.
Oh, she knows you're stealing?
She wants it to be. And I was like, I don't know. This place seems like it's barely staying open. They might need some of this money here.
Couldn't she give you the money?
Yeah.
She likes it to be arbitrary numbers.
She likes it to seem like it's secret, but it's not.
So like, then he told like, so then he basically only liked working with Tommy.
God, he was the angriest fucking man in the world. He would sometimes go up to like known comics. We once saw him go up to
Garland.
Jeff Garland just walking around the club.
Well, Garland walked up the back hallway and I was working the back door. And then Garland walks down. Here comes Harris Pete. Hey, you got to go in through the fucking front. And he's like, I'm on the lineup. I never fucking seen you before.
No.
And we're like, that's Jeff Garland. And he's like, I don't know who the fuck he is. Go around front.
Or like, you've never like, seen Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Yeah, or anything else.
you don't own a TV.
But that was when we were there, it was like no big name comics were coming through because the guys like Harris, like Mitzi, I think, before that said no industry could park in the lot.
Yeah.
So like, and then Eddie Griffin was doing like 2 to 3 hour
sets.
Do
you remember that?
We were there.
With that little white, that he would have that little thing of wine or whatever he was drinking.
He drinks a little wine thing, a little bottle.
And he had that laugh.
People would call the booth and they go, has anyone seen Eddie Griffin? I go, yeah, he just showed up. They go, okay, well, I'm not coming in.
I was one of those people.
Yeah.
Hour three would be like, 7 + 9 = 16. 1 and 6 is 7. 7 senators from Kansas. And you're like, you don't want to laugh because a black man saying truth. I'm like, no, you're saying insane.
Yeah, you sound like a guy pushing a shopping cart down Hollywood Boulevard.
And I'm like, this is, what are you doing? You're doing numerology? Like, this is crazy. Like, I'd watch. I'm like, this is crazy. Like, we're watching a madman.
This makes no,
And I was like, this guy has worked for years. Like, how is he on
sets? Well, that was a time when that lineup was dominated by Eddie Griffin, probably Cap.
Cap, yep.
Yeah. Eddie Griffin would do that 2 to 3 hour spot, and it was like, this
It was rough sauce.
And then Dice started doing it.
Well, I think once it became a contest.
He got banned for a minute by Mitzi.
He did.
It became a contest of like, oh, if Eddie can do it, can I do it? Like, let me see what kind of flex I have.
But it was embarrassing to work the booth because you had to have 6 people to start. And so there would be like two people sitting in there for an hour, get there at 9, and they're looking around, and then they would leave. So now we're starting all over again, and you would tell me like, no, the show will start soon. We just need to get a few more people. I mean, it was an embarrassment.
Do you remember when there used to be doubles on the list, so you'd get two sets in a row or two slots?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Like the cap would get 30 minute spot.
Started with him, I think. He'd got it a lot.
Fleischer would do it, and when Fleischer would do the OR because he wanted to do his crowd work, he turned the fucking house lights on.
Oh, my God.
And you know how the house lights are in the OR. They're not built to be turned on. No. It is an awkward fucking scene. Yeah.
It's like the night's over. Like, we're like, oh, that's right.
Listen, we didn't come here to look
and
at each other.
And it's drab and like none of the neon's on. It's all fucking dark and depressing.
And then you actually have to see what he looks like,
too. Yeah, and you're like, oh.
You're like, oh, I liked you more as Roger
you're
Rabbit.
Like, I thought that hunch was a prop. It's a legit fucking spinal injury.
My Nana had a hump, right? And so I remember I was like really young, the first time I touched it. He was on my Nana, so I thought it was going to be like soft.
Would you ride on it?
No, I touched it and it freaked me out.
Oh, that's weird.
I told my mom, I'm like, Nana's like a turtle. She's got a shell on her back. And my mom was like, no, that's her hump. And I was like, that's a shell. I'm not touching that ever again. It's a shell. It freaked me the fuck out. I would look at her like,
do you ever see Fleischer and you're like, Nana?
Yeah.
is that Nana in drag? Is Nana transitioning? You remember the movie 300 came out? They had the hunchback? And I used to go around.
Well,
and
he was in Zodiac Killer at the same time.
Yeah, we're like, did you see Fleischer in 300?
Fleischer seems like he should have played the Zodiac Killer.
There
was a while where he was like the celebrity it comic. Like Jason Schwartzman was coming in, hanging out with him. Like all these like young celebrities were like hanging out with him.
I thought he was a celebrity because I remember he was the doctor in Nightmare on Elm Street.
And he was Roger Rabbit. But what year was that?
That was
mid-2000?
Yeah, 06.
And then he had a stalker. Did you ever see a stalker up
there?
No. Oh, my God.
Crazy woman. She's like, is Charles here?
She used to call the phone and be like, is Charles on the lineup tonight? And I was like, yeah.
She looked like Kathy Bates, like playing big, like weird glasses.
No.
And was like, is Charles here tonight? And he'd be like, keep her away from
me. Have you ever seen his drawings, Fleischer?
Are they good?
Meticulous.
Really?
Yeah. I used to see him every now and then at a Starbucks in the Valley. And he'd have this folder, man. Just meticulous drawings.
Just doing some doodles.
Doodles.
He's like, this is what I would look like if I stood up straight.
It's all him.
This is how tall I would be if I...
It's all just him in a perfect light. Here's me jacked.
Here's me in a normal blazer.
Here's me in a supermodel girlfriend.
This is me not looking like a pedophile.
It's like a child.
You're like, this is really sad. I'm going to leave.
Here's me in a Lamborghini.
Here's me with a woman I didn't have to pay.
Like, wow, Charles, this is...
Wow, that's a weird
notebook. Here's me with my pants off and my huge cock.
This is weird notebook, Charles.
Looking into your dreams.
Wow, okay. Wow.
And then he just says, like, by the way, if I ever die, burn this notebook. You don't want to see what's
he would
in
just,
there.
Like, show you the drawings? Or would you ask?
No, I said hello to him, and he was drawing, and so I just, when I looked over, I was like, oh, shit. No, I had to try not to engage.
Did he dip the hump in paint and just do a roll?
What a great idea.
Do it on Dice DIY.
Yeah.
I'll bring it on Fleischer.
Dice it.
Dip your hump in there.
Dice it yourself. Today on Dice It Yourself, we're dipping humps.
When you talked to Fleischer, did he use his real voice or did he use that one? He either did the black guy voice or he did like some sort of space alien voice.
I don't know him that well, so it was more like a hello.
Okay.
And, yeah.
Do you remember Barry Diamond?
Listen.
The legend.
When you're walking in my what's going on?
We were there for the... In my feet, we were there for the Four Non-Blondes.
Just doing karaoke. Like, yeah. What's funny about
you
this?
Saw the Four Non-Blondes? We were there for Walking in Memphis?
We never saw Walking in Memphis.
Was his closer.
Yeah. And his opener. And his middle.
If you Google... I bet you if you Google Barry Diamond walking to Memphis, you'll hear a nice... He had a nice voice.
I mean, wrong career choice.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure getting on stage and singing
at a comedy club
songs that you didn't write.
It's funny.
That's when I knew that this career could easily fall apart because I loved Bachelor Party as a kid.
Yeah.
And I remember the first time I saw him and then I go, oh, everybody thinks he's a joke. And I go, oh, this career could easily fucking implode on you.
At any moment.
Yeah.
1 minute, I'm a bachelor party. The next minute, you are everybody. He's been a joke for...
Forever,
everybody's
yeah.
made a joke. Yeah. When he used to sing the Walking in Memphis, I will tell you what it showed me. I was like, oh, so there is an aspect to this of just entertaining that will keep people interested.
Yeah.
Well, they'll sit there. They'll be like, what is
it? It's nothing to do with comedy. It's
no.
just I'm putting on a show
I'm
some
being
way.
Entertained. Like yeah. guys like that, when I'd be like, oh, he's... Look, he keeps getting booked. He keeps getting on stage. So people are entertained.
Yeah.
So that, like, he was one of the guys that I took a mental note on. Like, okay. Like, there, don't forget to also not just tell jokes, but don't forget to also entertain them.
It's good if, like, if you could bomb in an entertaining way, that's always great.
Yeah.
And those are, like, the late night OR spots. Yeah. You're like, well, if I'm going to go down, then I'm going to go down in a very entertaining way.
Yeah, but like there's something when people are going out. This is what it took me a little bit to remember this. Once I get out of the I'm an artist, it took me a while to remember. Oh, people are going out to see a show.
Yeah,
they're getting dressed up. They're spending money. They're buying tickets. They're having drinks. They're bringing a date. They're out with their buddies. Whatever. But they're out to see a fucking show. So it took me a little bit to just not. Do the jokes.
Basically, what you're saying is like, don't be so precious.
No.
Or don't be so precious with just fine tuning the comedy to the point where you're like, fucking do, just go out there and have a good time and let them have a good
time.
Let
me ask you a question. Who's going to do better in this business? Somebody who is a good joke writer but a bad performer, or somebody who's a great performer and
always
a bad
take
joke.
The great performer.
Performer, no matter what.
They can always hire a writer.
Yeah, you can hire a writer. Yeah.
But the writer can't hire a good performer to teach him. Doesn't go both ways.
But it's visual, man. It's visual.
I could name you. I won't say it now on here, but I could name you comics.
Me too.
Who are big, who aren't great writers.
Me
great
too.
Great performers.
Great performers. Hard to take your eye off of them.
Yeah.
But like, so that was a big thing for me. Like, because not Barry Diamond, not the best joke writer.
Great song singer.
Great karaoke guy.
Great karaoke
like,
guy.
I would pay to see him do karaoke.
100%.
You're like, I need less Carlin, more Barry Diamond.
Yeah. Yeah. If you can mix Diamond and Carlin, that would be terrible.
But we got to get
to
this.
Carlin in the rough.
I got to get to this. This is the reason you're here. You made a comment online about a bestiality story, not knowing that this is the number one bestiality
podcast. Yeah, I don't know if you walked into that, if you knew that coming in here. That's why... Somebody wrote us a specific song about horse fucking.
They're like, you're in Danish and O'Neill territory. And then I said, come on the show. Let's talk about this.
I have to tell you, I did not know that this is what your thing was.
Well,
I mean,
it's
not our only thing, but it is a thing.
It's not like we set out for it, but we have been labeled that by numerous people.
Oh.
Some things you just
You mean
fall
like
into.
Federal
the government,
agency?
Yeah.
Okay.
DEA.
Watch groups. PETA.
Got it. Yeah.
Our parents.
Yeah, that's nice. That's good.
No, we happen to find people that have sex with horses. There are numerous stories. We find it fascinating.
Do you find it more fascinating when people are getting fucked by animals or people fucking animals?
But either one.
Yeah, either way.
We're not precious
either way,
with our bestiality.
You've strayed so far off fuck path that it's insane.
My question is always like, how did you find that? Was your thing.
Oh, that's always we've spent hours just talking about one incident where we delve deep, like how the fuck, like, but then you'll see traces of how it started.
Have you seen
the community,
the fish blowing the dude video?
No
No, we gotta see it.
The fish blowing the guy.
Where
you haven't seen that
what
video?
What kind of fish?
I am going to send that to you.
Please do.
Yeah.
The fish blowing the guy is one of the I've maybe watched it. It's embarrassing.
But the guy come?
Gotta be 35 times.
You're like, every Christmas, we fire it up.
It's so crazy.
Is it like his fish or does he catch it? So many questions.
Is it a friend's fish?
It's in the ocean.
Wow.
Wild fish.
Oh, this guy's going for wild fish.
The African dick.
Yeah, you guys.
I saw it on River
Monsters.
Oh, I gotta
see this.
I'm sure somebody who listens to this has it on their phone.
Does he put like breadcrumbs? Like what brings it in?
You know, we didn't see the acquisition of the fish.
It's so improbable to me that someone's doing this. That it's just I was like,
okay,
what has gone wrong in the human mind?
Hold on.
where he's getting up. He's opening a briefcase.
He's got a fish.
He's putting a code into a briefcase.
I'm going to have, because I remember when I, the day I erased it. I remember the day I erased it off my phone, but I know who has it on theirs.
Okay. You were worried about maybe somebody coming through.
Well, and this guy's loving it. This isn't like he's doing a joke. Like, hey, look at this.
It is
the classic "let a fish suck your dick" joke.
Yeah.
Hey, look at me.
Hey guys, look at this.
Well, I told you about that dog that almost licked my dick because I did a joke for my wife. I go, oh, look at this, the dog, and then the dog almost licked my dick, and then we both looked at each other like this has gone way too far.
Oh, yeah, hold on. I can't believe I'm sending this. This is a text I'm sending somebody. The text reads, "Do you have that video of the fish blowing that dude?"
Jesus Christ. Glad you asked.
I'm looking at it right now.
All right, so hit me with this.
So this is New York Post. It's crazy how now mainstream media is covering bestiality. Like, no,
used to lurk
before.
In the background. Now it's on the forefront.
So this dude's from New Jersey. And he was arrested for asking local farmers permission to fuck their animals.
That was one. And then he was threatening them if they didn't.
So then he started threatening them.
Oh, the old mafia style.
Yeah. And damaging their cars if they refuse. Oh, you're going to refuse me?
What
for fucking your
fucking
cow.
Psycho.
Denting the cars with his dick.
This guy's 31. Dick. Richard Decker. Dickie Decker.
Dickie Decker. Old Dick Decker?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That hey, is Dick Decker just dented my car because I wouldn't let him fuck my dog.
Dick Decker is a great name for this guy.
Are those door dings? No, yeah, that's from Dick Decker.
Those are dings.
Wouldn't let him fuck my horse. Yeah.
Those are Dick Decker
dings.
He
left you a Dick Upper Decker. Yeah.
So he began sending messages to these guys with farms and horse stables in 2018, asking if he could have sex with their cows and horses. So he had a specific, he's like, I'm not going to.
I will give him this. He asked permission.
It's nice.
It's not rape.
Yeah.
Well, classy. In his eyes.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's nice to ask permission.
It's like going to a woman's father. Can I propose?
Yeah.
You're not just going to run roughshod.
But then saying, by the way, if you don't let me marry your daughter, I'm going to key the shit out of your car.
I'm going to fucking dick dent your car.
And I'm going to threaten you.
And I'm still going to fuck her.
What does this guy look like?
Handsome guy. Looks like a young George Clooney.
Like a young Steve Guttenberg.
He looks like a guy who...
Oh, that guy looks like a psycho.
He looks like a maniac.
Oh, you know what he looks like? You remember the guy who used to be on Law & Order...
Corbin Burnson?
No.
The guy that got fired? No, wait, was that...
You know, Law & Order, what's the woman who's on it now?
Oh, Ice-T.
Yeah, that one. The woman's partner, that's what that dude used to
look
like.
Okay, I think I know who you're talking... Yes, I know who you're talking about. Maloney or something? Is that who you're talking about?
Maybe.
Yeah.
I've only seen it seven times.
Christopher Maloney?
Yeah.
Like the guy who's in...
In Happy.
That movie...
Or the show, Happy?
Oh, the movie Happy?
No, oh, you're talking about Happiness or the one with, what's his face?
Is that creepy?
Yeah.
That was one of the darkest. I didn't know what I was getting into. I shouldn't have got high
for
that
movie.
That was
weird, yeah. There's a TV show called Happy, which I think may be one of the best shows on TV right now.
It got canceled.
It did?
I think so.
Oh, my God, dude. It is so...
Patton Oswalt had a double, two shows he was on canceled on the same day. That was one of them.
But it lasted the second season came out and then it got canceled.
It was crazy.
And it is, you want to talk about entertainment value.
Yeah.
When you're like, just be entertaining, this shit was just fucking pure entertainment.
Take a look at that.
First season's on Netflix,
I believe. It was insane. So when this guy would get rejected by the farmers, he sent threats and placed homemade metal spikes on their driveways to damage them.
This guy had, police spike strips laid out?
That is so crazy to have that.
I warned you.
What an arrogance, though, to be like, I'm going to ask, and then if you, like, you need to say yes, because if you don't.
But also, can we just, who's saying yes? Did he think they were?
I bet some guys caved. I bet they're like, okay. I'm tired of
my
tires
getting
slashed.
Did you talk to Larry? Larry said yes.
I'll be Dick Decker.
Okay.
And I'm going to knock on your door.
I'm a local farmer.
Yeah.
All right. Oh, hey, Dick.
Hey, how are you, man?
Pretty good.
Good. Hey, listen, everything good?
Everything's amazing.
Good. Hey, I was just wondering, you have a bunch of animals back there?
I do. Thanks for noticing.
Are there any of them that you would be okay with me fucking? It doesn't really matter to me which kind. I'm just looking for any animal.
I'm not really cool with that, Dick. I got to be honest with you. Kind of an odd thing to ask.
But why? Like, they're... You're speaking for the animals.
Yeah,
How do you know?
They're my animals, Dick. I'm not comfortable with you fucking my animals.
But you're making judgment for the animal, and I can just tell you, as someone who's fucked an animal, they like it.
Dick, I want you to get the fuck off my property right now. I'm going to tell you right now, Dick. I'll give you 10 seconds. Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, I mean, he's trying to plead his case.
We eat these animals, Dick.
I don't want them with your semen on it.
Before he leaves, he's like, it's weird. I've noticed you parked your car on the driveway. Well, have a good one, guys. Like, what is that?
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay. For the fish?
Let's see this. Oh boy!
Here we By the go. Way, it boy. Came.
I'm getting a little. I'm a little nervous.
You see how quickly that came?
Fast delivery.
Okay.
I don't know who's going to come faster, the message or me.
Okay. Here we.
Here
go.
Here we go.
Hold on.
What is this on? YouTube or is this dark web?
Okay. It's.
Is this on? This is probably on YouPorn.
I don't know what dark web is.
Oh, there's like other people in the water with him.
This guy wearing a bathing cap. Or is that a lady?
I hope it starts to play sometime here. We're at 5G.
Yeah, even 5G is like I don't want to play this.
His goggles.
Somebody's helping him.
It's Oh!
Oh my God! What the fuck?
One guy's thrusting the fish. Well, these guys are having a great time.
This is not a joke at all.
Oh my god. This is like American Pie but with a live fish and an Asian guy's dick.
What? And another guy is
this guy's rock hard. This is something to behold.
What the fuck?
The fish has now gotten the hang of it.
But did you see the fish?
The fish is trying to swim away right into his dick every time.
Did you see the dick went away and the fish went back to it?
Yeah.
Well, they're conditioning this fish.
It's a worm. He also he did have a lure on the tip of his dick.
Yeah.
if you're swimming in these waters and you're unaware that they've trained a dick sucker, you're gonna be in for a rude awakening.
I'll go ahead and send this to you guys.
Yeah, send that. My mom would love that.
It was crazy that the assistant starts out by thrusting it.
Do you know what's most disturbing about all that is how deadly serious these guys are. They're like, okay, yeah, I think he's gone. Okay, yeah, yeah, thrust it in there real good.
Like if one of them laughed or smiled, it would have been like,
but that's
all right,
a big fish.
Get it. It's crazy.
How do you catch that fish by hand?
I don't know.
Noodling.
With your dick.
Yeah,
you just hanging your dick out?
I hope that was a big mouth bass.
That was so amazing. But was that, let me ask you, when I said, have you ever seen the fish or the video of the fish blowing the dude, what were you expecting?
I was not expecting an assistant.
Oh, you expecting a solo?
Yeah, I thought it was solo, and I thought the guy would have a smirk. Like, you know, I like it, but also it's a funny joke. But not somebody being like, okay, it was very...
real?
It was very clinical.
Yeah.
Like, there was a mythology behind it.
Do they switch places after it's
Here's my other
over.
Question. Who is the first dummy who's like, I'm going to stick my dick in this fish's mouth. I hope it's going to be okay. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, like what will happen?
They have those.
No, some of them have teeth.
I'm saying.
Maybe they like that, though. And also, like, where is this?
Looks like Asia.
What country
is
this?
I think I heard Spanish.
Oh, Spanish. The Asian Spanish
quarter. Yeah, the Spasians.
Spasians.
The Spasians, yeah. They're
Spanada?
Big Spanada? They're Spanish. Yeah, they're big into it, the Spasians.
Literally, it does sound like a fucking appetizer. Have you tried our Spanada?
Would you eat that fish? Knowing what it's been through.
Like, why would he have to eat it?
No, isn't
it
like no, you is like we caught this fish, but it sucked the guy's dick. Like,
I know, but do we need like are we starving?
Is
to death?
Is that the only fish left?
No, it's just like it's a free fish dinner. Free,
no,
free fish dinner, but it's been fucked real good.
And the guy's severed penis is in his mouth.
It like a pig with an apple.
Yeah,
it's still sucking.
If it's the only fish, yes, I'm eating it. If it's the only fish left, if I'm starving. But if you're telling me...
If that guy's the last guy, I'm going to eat that dude.
Huh?
Like, if that guy's the only last...
Would you eat the dude before the fish?
Probably, just to get one less fucking pervert. Like, get rid of him.
I mean, listen.
It was so, like... It seemed like actual sex is what was the most disturbing
100%
thing.
What's genius about it, though, is that he can take his fingers and be like, smell this pussy that I've been fucking. Like, no one knows that it's a fish it's the whole time.
Well, yeah. And by the way.
Because a cow, you're not doing that, I don't think.
No, probably not.
You're like, smell this cow shit under my fingernails.
My also thought is, how many guys have seen that video and been like, I'm trying that?
I'm sure a lot.
Right?
Yeah.
Way more than you would think.
Right? And with different fish. Goldfish.
Anything.
Yeah. Goldfish?
Yeah.
How tiny is
koi ponds.
Stuffed animal.
Yeah.
Fish.
I think you'd probably, some guys probably want to feel like they have a huge hog, so they use a much smaller fish.
Minnow.
You're like, look, this thing can barely suck it.
Yeah.
Catfish is for edgy.
You don't want to do catfish. That's a bad idea.
Do the fish do like forced blowjobs where you put it on, it's like,
And by the way, when that fish swims away, are the other fish like, man, what the fuck?
I think it's a casting thing.
Yeah,
they're like this fish is auditioning.
Oh, you think
never
this
done board before?
Well, that could have been like a 9 p.m. shot.
This was a man. Yeah. I'll send it to you. You're welcome.
I'd like to see like a kid just boogie board away by the distance.
Maybe he's there with a fan, or he panned to the beach and his family is just laying out.
Are you done? Yeah. Come on, we gotta go.
His family's like, yeah. His dad's like, come on, let's go. Hold on.
His father-in-law is like,
how long does it take?
Will you come? Let's go.
Yeah.
What the fuck? Just thrusting that fish
on
there.
I'm gonna send it to you right now.
It's man. It's
eye opening.
It's disturbing that these people live amongst us, because as we do so many of these stories, every time I walk the streets and I pass somebody, I always think, what is this person doing in the
private
time?
Or you see someone petting a dog, like, you know,
a little too
you're
much.
Like, what's there? What's the
you see somebody
there?
Eating a dog's ass, and you're like,
there was a guy that I grew up with that for sure you would lay there and his dog would lay next to him and he would just play with their nipples. He would just do this all the time.
What?
Yeah, he would just flick
like
the dog.
Like, she just had puppies, and he just like he was, strumming them.
He was just
up and
he
down?
Would play with it.
Is that where you learned the move on the nipples? He would, like, look at that movement.
It was actually a guy named Chris Jolly. It's weird.
He's gonna lose his job.
Get your nipple playing fingers out.
Hey, my friend was married to your friend. I guess they broke up after we did that.
That's
episode,
super weird. Know? Just strumming the nipples.
Yeah, just strum the nipples.
Did the dog like it?
The dog didn't move.
His dad's like, stop, it's my turn. Get out of there.
Yeah,
but
no,
first of all, you're supposed to lick your hand.
Yeah, don't be rude.
Yeah, come on. Don't go dry on the dog.
I used to love to just flick the nuts over and over again.
You know what?
It's fucking weird.
The dog nutsack, once the balls have been taken out, and it's just that, they said like that deflated balloon.
Yeah.
Is the saddest.
Very sad.
It's the sad. I mean, I know you're supposed to do it, and I'm high. I did it with my dog, too. But just to see that fucking empty paper sack, you're like, oh, man.
Yeah, we used to have hunting dogs as kids, so they all had their full sack. And it's glorious. You're like, when you see a dog, especially now, if I see a dog with a full sack, I mean, that's a rare sight.
Makes
like,
you want to go.
You need to drain that.
Yeah. Get over here. Let me help you out with that.
Give it a Renazizi milking.
It looks pretty full. Let me help you out with that full sack.
Hey, nice sack on there. Good to see they're still around. I think you should put a fake sack on your dog so he doesn't feel so insecure.
Truck nuts?
Yeah.
Just so you know, that's a real thing.
Real? It is?
Implants or
100%
like,
real thing.
Can you put like those Asian meditation balls in there so it jingles?
Is Dyson stole them?
Yeah, I'm gonna put some nuts in your dog.
DIY, Dyson yourself.
Yeah, I invented that. You're lying, Wills.
Do you remember everybody else? Didn't even have a podcast. The podcast was debuting, and he's like, "Yeah, we already have like 600,000 people subscribing." But it hasn't been one episode.
Like, he had pre-signups.
Oh, he had a pre-sale for the podcast? That makes sense.
Pre-signups.
Yeah, I'm not sure you know how this
early
works.
Early signups.
Yeah. But people bought tickets early. That's not how this works.
By the way, you could only subscribe in the fall. Then we shut down subscriptions.
AOL already bought the podcast. It hasn't come out yet. Wheels, I don't know what you're talking
about. Yeah, by the way, AOL is not a thing. You know, AOL doesn't buy anything anymore. Yeah.
This guy, farmers are, you don't want to fuck with. This guy threatened to beat a farmer's wife with a wooden stick when he said, like, the guy could kill you.
Is this Dick again?
Yeah, it's Dick Decker. And then he was damaging the tires with his fucking spikes. Cops went to his house. They found a homemade
DIY dice it yourself 22 caliber gun. I don't even know how you do
wait,
that.
He made wait like 3D printed it?
It says homemade 22 caliber gun. I don't know what the fuck that means.
What the fuck?
Arrows with explosives attached like Rambo.
Whoa. This guy
metal spikes similar to
I'm down
not
with
mad
that.
At that. Not
yeah,
mad
I'm
at
down
that.
With that.
Oh, you won't let me fuck your dog? Well, we'll see.
Yeah, wait till this arrow with C4 on it comes through your fucking window.
I'm going to my lab. The fuck?
This guy's like the Unabomber if the Unabomber loved to fuck animals.
Oh my God.
Do you think after the guy's like, well, he did just threaten you with a wooden stick. He has fucking explosive arrows that he could have gone to.
Yeah, you should feel lucky though. You're like, can you imagine what you, like the guy's like slashed my tires, but you didn't know that there was fucking explosive arrows
yeah,
that he had.
Yeah, man, you got off easy.
And a homemade gun.
Who the fuck's making, the last time I saw a homemade gun was In the Line of Fire with
I think
Clint Eastwood. Yeah. What's his name?
I think, by the way, with John Malkovich.
Yes.
I think, by the way, if you're going to fuck somebody's animal, I think asking permission is the wrong way.
Just do it and then take the repercussions.
It's better to ask for forgiveness
yeah,
than permission.
Permission.
Yeah, you know what I mean? I'm sorry I fucked your dog.
I bet you the farmers would have definitely handled it. They'd be like, okay, just don't do it again. And you're like, yeah, wink, wink, I won't.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Why wink, didn't he wink, try
and that's
a different
just the noise
area.
My asshole's making right now.
Yeah. Why didn't he just go to new farmers? Like, why be like, I insist on this area? Because
I think he became obsessed with like a particular
why
animal.
Didn't he adopt?
Dude, that's the thing. It's not that like, hard to own.
You're on the list of not adopting.
Oh, you think I just made the list?
You're on the no adoption list.
Farm animals
there's
are
horse hair coming out of your flies.
You
sir.
Think Dick Decker is on the no adoption
yes.
list?
You're like, you have a bow and arrow, explosive bow and arrows on your back right now.
Sir,
no.
Why do you have a boner when you're filling out this application?
Oh, you think livestock auctions have his picture being don't allow this man to bid?
Why are the metal strips across your lap? Just curious.
Sir, we're doing a livestock auction. Please put your dick away. You're not supposed to jerk off to this? No.
He's like, if I'm going to, I want to fuck it before I buy it.
Yeah, right.
Are you bidding with that boner or is that just... You're just hard right now.
Oh, my God.
Did you hear about this one from our home state? Some Boston government guy is trying to ban the usage of the word bitch. He's trying to take it out of the vernacular.
Why?
This dude, Dan Hunt. He said he's filing a bill.
Hunt.
His brother, Mike.
On behalf. Yeah, Mike Hunt.
Yeah.
He's filing this on behalf of a constituent.
I love that in high school.
Me too,
who
Mike Hunt.
Any comic. We
Mike
were all,
Hunt was the best.
Oh, it's amazing.
You ever heard of Holden, Massachusetts?
No.
My dad, he said he had another variation. He's like Dick Hurst from Holden. I don't think it was my dad's, but yeah. it was brought to me.
But he
age.
Liked that one.
I was like, thank you for
how
that.
Many times did he tell that?
A lot.
Yeah.
My dad is like 10 jokes that have been used over about 40 years.
Love
of my
that.
Life.
He's like the Jeff Altman of the adult world.
You're like,
why are these? Is he taking away the word bitch?
So he proposed a state law that would penalize the use of the word.
What's the penalty?
When used to demean another person.
Oh, my God.
So if you say, like, I'm up in this bitch, like this place, that's fine. But if you're using it against somebody,
he's a bitch.
Whoa, you'd get fined for
are
that.
You? How is this even on anyone's...
Yeah, why is this you, like homelessness?
Why bitch?
Like there's nothing above
this guy
that?
Has like a vendetta from some kids that fucked with
they
him, called
his
him
wife
a bitch.
On Halloween. You guys are going to pay for that.
He's been called a bitch his whole life.
He's like,
stop
now.
Being... What's his name?
Danny Hunt.
He's heard this a bunch. Danny. Stop being a bitch, Danny.
Hunt, you cunt, and you're a bitch.
Yeah.
He's like, I can't go after cunts.
Your brother's a cunt, and you're a bitch.
Yeah. Bitch. Hey, don't double it
what
up.
What a great way to get people to stop calling a bitch by being the ultimate bitch by trying
My
to ban
God,
it.
God, that is the craziest thing I've ever
this,
heard.
It's like, if this shit starts catching on... He's like a bunch of pussies who are like, I don't want to be called this anymore.
He's trying to assign fines and other penalties for that.
Fines.
Other offenses, such as crimes for common nightwalkers.
What
and
is he?
Exposure
what's his
and
rule there? The what's his law? What does he do there in Boston?
Let's see what he is.
Did you say nightwalkers? Because I'm a nightwalker.
Yeah, me too.
I think he means hookers.
I love to get high and walk around my neighborhood at like
too.
2 in the morning.
He's a state rep. Yeah, I don't think he's talking about you guys.
Okay.
Okay. All right.
Who knows?
I don't want to get a fucking $80 fine.
Here's what the bill says. A person who uses the word bitch directed at another person to accost, annoy, degrade, or demean the other person.
Annoy.
How else are you going
to
use it?
Shall be considered to be a disorderly person in violation of this section. Yeah, I don't know. Like,
did he get laughed out of the fucking...
No, they're like they're going
fucking,
to the...
Who the fuck is considering this?
It says violations could be either reported by the person the word was directed at or by witnesses. Which is like, hey, I heard that guy. I don't like that guy. I heard him say he's a bitch.
Would, if it's a ticket... I would like to walk right up to that guy and be like, you're a bitch.
Write it out, Danny.
Write the ticket. How much, you bitch?
I'm going to double it up.
What if you bitch slap him?
I think
Does that fall under the same?
No, that's a loophole.
Okay.
But if you say,
you just got bitch slapped.
But if you call it bitch slap, then you're calling him a bitch. So
this guy is the biggest bitch I've ever fucking seen. Yeah.
It's like the straight pride parade guys. Yeah. And you're like, you guys understand the parade is the gayest thing you could possibly do, right? Like, there's no here. It doesn't seem to work.
You're fighting the wrong fight here. Yeah. Like, what are you talking about?
Says the fine is, I don't get this. It says, of not more than either 150 or 200. But why not just say, or 6 months in jail if you can't pay it?
I would love to go to jail. What kind of street cred do you get with that? What are you doing in here?
I call the guy a bitch. Call the woman a bitch.
Dude, I call this guy at 7-Eleven a bitch. What?
Yeah, that's why. Yeah.
I'm in jail.
You're like, why? He didn't have the pizza. Right?
They're like, all right, well, they're like, literally, you're fresh fish. You got to fuck this fish right here.
I sent you the video, by the way.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Make sure you send it to me.
I know what I'm showing my daughter tonight before she goes to
bed. Oh, you said you wanted a fish? Yeah. Hold on.
It says the Massachusetts Republicans were criticizing and mocking the bill. One guy wrote on Twitter, Beacon Hill Democrats, like Rep. Dan Hunt, it doesn't say he's a bitch, but it should have, are fiercely taking on the biggest problems facing the Commonwealth.
Yeah. No, it's true. Like, of all the shit. This
so say
is,
you're
this
a comic
fucking,
and you say bitch on stage. Can you be fine?
Well, what about that Canadian guy?
We go back to fucking Lenny.
We could head to that. It'd be tough. I mean, here's the thing. We're looking at coasts. The middle of the country, or I grew up in Indiana.
Yeah.
They don't, all this shit, they're like, what are, you guys are lunatics.
They don't care.
You guys are fucking lunatics.
They don't care. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Because Boston, I mean, if you go, I've gone out there and you see. Have you ever seen street fights in Boston?
Yeah.
Angry city. Oh, angry city.
That is not a city you want to get in a street fight.
It's the fucking Irish.
No. Although I had a friend I went to college with who may or may not have done HGH or steroids, and he would, like, when fights happened, he would run into the just like doesn't know who's fighting for what and just starts fighting.
Guess
like,
who isn't that guy?
Yeah, I'm with you. Especially you're like a certain age.
Yeah,
like,
dude, I've seen too many street fights. My buddy got fucking sucker punched, shattered his jaw, concussion, has no idea of the 48 hours, still has no recollection of the 48 hours
movie?
Before he got punched.
Yeah. I don't even remember Nick Nolte meeting Eddie Murphy.
What a weird thing to forget. I remember everything except I can't remember 48 hours.
Even when he rewatches it, instantly leaves his head.
Why is Nick Nolte so angry?
It's too fucking, I've seen bad shit, man. Street fight is not worth it.
Nah, man.
You kill a guy?
Nah, man.
You can fucking,
you hit a certain age, if I'm not defending myself or my family, you say whatever the fuck you want.
Yeah. Call me a bitch, I'll write you a ticket.
I like organized fighting. MMA, I'm good with MMA.
I remember I worked.
But I'm not getting in a ring.
Oh.
This guy.
You did.
I got it.
Yeah. I know you did.
Were you at the store when they did like Tripping on Tuesdays? Remember that show?
Guy Tori. Yeah, those were packed.
So I would, no matter how the store was doing, that room was packed.
That was the one night you could always count.
That show was like keeping the fucking place open.
No doubt.
But it was a hard night to work.
Yeah.
So I sat once. They told me to seat that room.
Ugh.
And so I was like, okay, follow me. And they're like, yeah, we're going to sit over here. And I was like, well, and they're like, yeah, I'm fucking sitting right here. And I go, then I just sat the whole time and then just let the room seat itself.
No, you're right. You're sitting there. Yeah. That's what
people
I meant.
Like, yeah, I'm fucking sitting right
here. I remember
here.
Waitresses would be like all upset. You're like, what happened? Like, oh, a woman took her high heels off and tried to stab me. You're like, oh, okay. That's a different
but
vibe.
But did you get a tip? Or
it's a different vibe in that show. So they had their doorman. It was the security guy's brother. I'm like, where did your brother just came out of nowhere? I haven't seen him before. Oh, he was in prison. I was like, oh, okay. And then the doorman would get pissed at me. The long hall. So I'd be at one end. And he'd be like, hey, man, you know who's supposed to come in the back door and who's not? And I'd be like, I actually don't at all. Like,
no idea. Because
when I say no sometimes, then you override me. So I was like, I don't know. And he's like, and I was like, and hey, a lot of these guys are a little aggressive. And he's like, I'll get down there. I go, dude, you're like 100 yards away.
Yeah.
I have no insurance involved in this job.
I'm taking at least 7 punches by the time you get here.
And I was like, so how about I just send him to you and you be the gauntlet? And he got pissed. But I was like, I'm not doing fuck
you.
No,
man.
I go, I make $0 off your show.
There aren't a whole lot of jobs I'm taking a punch for.
No.
Yeah, and working the comedy store.
I don't understand
wage.
Bouncers because those guys don't make much money and they're willing to fucking get in that fracas.
Because there's like 8 of them.
Yeah, but you take, I mean, you still get hit. You lose a tooth. That's a fucking expensive
And if you're the first
problem.
One and you're fighting like a bad motherfucker, you're going to get to take a beating. A
couple times.
And then they're going to tackle the game.
Knives
tackle.
Get pulled. you know, fucking fish. All kinds. Yeah.
Fish on your dick. Guy, you know, you're like, oh, this feels good.
Before you get down there, some guy's just jerking you with a fish.
I can't wait for you guys to really
deep delve
dive
into it. Was one of the guys wearing earbuds?
I want you to just deep dive in
I bet
there.
There's a subreddit dedicated to this video where people will get to the bottom.
100%.
People are like, let's meet these men.
They found these guys.
Yeah. Yo, for sure.
Dr. Phil needs to talk to these guys.
About what? Technique?
Just the village? What's going on? Why fish? Why not women? Is this allowed where you're from? Is it frowned upon?
I mean,
why did you post it online?
That's the other
that
thing.
That was the other one.
Why are you videoing this and why are you posting it?
Oh, why are you videoing it? I understand that. Why are you posting it? Why are you videoing it? Because look, man, if you're getting blown by a fish with your buddy in public, they were.
Yeah.
This wasn't like a secluded. They were in the ocean.
Part of the allure is like, what you don't see is right behind the guy, there's an entire shopping mall.
You know,
that river's like right along a parking lot.
There's one of those family paddle boats.
Yeah.
It's on the highway.
Like, what the fuck?
That was the LA River.
Oh, man. Burbank. That fish had legs.
That fish was just being thrusted on there.
Yeah.
Just get a pocket pussy. Maybe they don't have them there.
Well,
maybe,
get a fish one.
Maybe we should just drop them from a plane. Hey, you guys can fuck these
things. Yeah, you don't have to fuck a fish.
Yeah.
Oh, you mean like North Korea where we drop the pamphlets? They're like, hey, the internet exists.
Take these pussies.
And not only the internet, here's some pussies that we're going to drop from the plane.
Yeah.
Now here's some fish. Go ahead and fuck. Start with those.
Leave the fish alone.
Yeah, did you ever see that Vice where they went to some South American country and it's well known that kids learn to fuck by fucking donkeys. And it's actually, a girl won't fuck you unless she has you have experience. She'll be like, how many donkeys have you fucked?
What are you saying?
What
right
are you,
now?
A loser?
This
You've only fucked four.
True. This is true. So then they video a guy fucking a donkey, and it is like, when you see those things that are so unnatural that it shakes your body, you're like, whoa, this is not supposed to be happening.
So instead of a bar mitzvah, they funk a donkey?
What's like that?
That's how you.
Like, we don't take health class.
That's
here.
How you become a man?
Get out there.
Yeah, I don't even think it's instead of a bar mitzvah. I think this is just like instead of jerking off, you just go fuck a donkey.
Why waste it? Save a cowboy.
Like jerking fuck off is frowned upon. But no, the parents and everybody encourage their kids.
Are they all slow clapping? Get out there.
Yeah.
It's the first time, everybody.
And you'll actually be laughed at if you haven't. Like some guy's like he's a donkey virgin and people made fun of him.
A donkey fucker?
It just takes one trailblazer to be like, I'm not doing it. And they're like, he's got a point.
Let's get fucking fish.
Or they're stealing them to death. Like, this piece of shit, you think you're better
than
us?
What country is that? I'm going to have to Google it.
It was, you can see the Vice.
I'll Google it.
It's a whole, like, 15-minute thing where he went.
On the way home, I'll be already out of the
That definitely is a Vice. Fucking donkeys.
Yeah, so it's
a lot of animal fuckers out there. We did a story back in the day of a orangutan prostitute in
somewhere
Malaysia.
In Malaysia, yeah. It was sad.
Makeup. It was,
to look like a... Look like an old lady?
What are you
I
saying?
Guess.
People, and
are
people
paying.
Fucked.
Yeah, to fuck.
Lots of money.
Yeah, paying money to fuck this monkey.
That's
hooker.
A real thing, too.
Yeah, there are monkey hookers in the world. People aren't talking about that. That's why we're exposing these things.
There is some shit going on. Sometimes I feel like.
What am I Googling for the monkey hooker?
Monkey prostitute.
Orangutan prostitute in Malaysia.
I'll show you. I'll get a picture.
Sometimes I feel like the world needs to end. Just so we can get rid of all of those things that are happening. Because it was sad, especially when you see it. You're like, oh, this is a fucking...
It sounds awful. Prostitution.
But then you dig deep into it.
But then you see how cheap it is and you go, oh, I could afford this.
This is the one. Right?
How about this?
Oh, yeah, that's it, right? Or
there's also, have you seen the prostitution among animals?
Like other animals fucking other species?
A few studies have suggested that prostitution exists among different species of non-human animals, such as penguins and chimpanzees.
What do they pay with? Fish?
The concept is also known as transactional sex. The notion of such transactional sex among chimpanzees, what do they pay with? Penguins use stones for building their nests. Based on a 1998 study, media reports stated that a shortage of stones led female penguins to trade sex for stones.
Oh, no shit.
Yeah, it's a, there needs to be a kid's book, The Pimp and Penguin.
I mean,
he's got all the rocks. He's just sitting on a fucking bed of rocks. He's
yeah.
Like, you want to fuck?
That is absolutely bananas.
That's
to me.
Nuts. The, but these, it makes sense.
These Capuchin monkeys use silver discs as money in order to study their economic behavior. The discs would be exchanged by the monkeys for various treats.
Whoa. That's fucking crazy.
And then they're fucking. Well, good for them.
I mean.
And here we are trying to stop prostitution.
Yeah, are we wrong?
Yeah, I mean.
It seems like we're fighting. Are we going against nature?
We're fighting the wrong fight.
Yeah.
We need to ban the word.
You know what? I have a feeling that sometime, if we keep going the way we're going, like, there will be groups that are trying to get the government to stop animals from doing prostitution. Stop lions from, like, raping other yeah. lions. Like, we'll have meddled so much in the natural order of things.
I can't imagine that we would not let... I mean, lions are... Have you seen them fuck?
Yeah.
They're aggressive.
It's aggressive. Yeah.
There's a lot of... biting and clawing. And
it's not a fish. It's not graceful.
No, the fish was kind of graceful.
Yeah.
Fish looked like it kind of liked it.
I mean, as much as a fish can have emotion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The fish was like, almost like, you know, like its mouth was like.
He found the groove and then he went with
did
it.
Did the people who listen to this ask you to send the videos out?
No.
We they'll can,
find
though.
They'll find this
yeah,
one.
They'll find yeah. it.
Yeah, I think.
You're welcome,
I'm
going to
put your number out.
You're welcome.
On
yeah,
Twitter.
Yeah. Text out my number.
Have you, why are people doing that lately? What is the catch
money.
With this?
They're getting money.
There's like every celebrity's like, yeah.
So they just
up.
Have a burner phone and then they have somebody manning
who's
it?
The money
I don't know how it works.
From.
I don't know how it works.
I don't get what. The, I can't figure it out. I'm trying to wrap my
I'm
brain around.
I'm not sure I'm big enough celebrity
like
to.
I've been calling Sebastian nonstop. He won't answer my calls.
I got his number from the Comedy Store.
Oh,
I got
you his have real number.
I got his real number.
Oh,
I go,
okay.
Hey, he told me to call. He's like, what are you doing?
Not this number.
Sky, what the fuck?
I've been calling Dice. I didn't give it out.
Dice it up.
We should pitch it to Dice.
I think it's a good idea.
I like it.
YouTube show.
Here's how you fuck a girl.
But Dice the problem is when you get Dice involved with anything, here's what we're going to do. 50 camera turns. It's got to be rotated. You're like, okay,
yeah.
This is a
headache. Yeah, I'm tuning it on my iPhone.
This has become not funny.
Yeah, yeah. yeah.
No, so. I'll shoot it. You stand over there. Okay.
Dice, we're going to have you fuck this fish.
Okay.
Do was he it. Coming in when you were working there?
Yeah.
Because he would come in and like he'd have his phone, he'd film and shit. He'd get other guys who like didn't really know him well. Like I remember Maz Gibran?
Oh, yeah.
He's like, okay, here's what we're doing. Give him like a loose script. And Maz's like, wait, what?
Yeah, he would walk up and he'd like, you're the guy from the middle? And he's like, yeah, the Middle East. Yeah, from New York. And
yeah,
then
Maz
is like, oh, I'm going there next week. I'll see you there then.
That was
an end scene.
Or he'd film himself throwing away his garbage in the dumpster. He'd be like, isn't this crazy? And I'd be like, "Not, I don't know.
Yeah, no,
not really.
Not that watchable.
Just a man like throwing away garbage.
Should we wrap this up?
Yeah, let's get out of here.
Thanks for doing the show, man.
Thanks
great
for coming
time.
On. Plug anything you
me.
Want,
yeah.
including fish fucking.
ComedianJoshWolf.com for tour dates. I'm out there a lot.
Where are you at next?
Houston and then Kansas City and then... No, Houston and then Omaha and then Austin and Kansas City and Dallas. And
I saw, I think it was in Buffalo, you followed Bert on a weekend.
Yeah.
Your shirt off. Very shredded.
Thanks, buddy.
You keep in shape.
Yeah, you look shredded. Right. You've always been in, like,
I'm a bit
shredded
of a,
dude.
I'm a bit of a, that's, I think that's my, that's where I let the addiction happen.
Where's,
I'm really been a bit of a.
You're like a gym guy? Or
yeah,
you go, like, 100%. Playgrounds?
Like yeah, I like to go to playgrounds and chase
no, but
kids.
Like, do the pull-up. Like,
cardio.
I do the pull-ups. I go to the park and do the pull-up bars. And that's what I
no,
like.
No, no, no. I gym.
Jim, okay.
And I just, yeah, it's where I can just go and, like, my favorite thing to do at the gym is I pick somebody every day at the gym to hate. So if I need motivation or energy,
I just look at this
fucking guy. And I'll just pick, like, it's something, sometimes it's the shorts, sometimes it's you're dancing or you're singing
it's
out
loud. It's
a
little thing that annoys the shit out of you.
A little pet peeve, and then I just use it the whole time.
Have you ever worked out with Earl Skakel?
I haven't.
Fellow comedy workout.
Man. Yeah, but he's jacked.
Be cool.
He is, yeah.
Yeah.
He's also 71 years old.
72. He just turned 72. Oh, okay. I forgot.
Yeah, yeah, it's his birthday.
Yeah, yeah,
hey, birthday. As he would say, I'm the oldest ride in the park, but there's the longest line.
As he would say, doing Ric Flair, to be fair.
Yeah, well, that's, cool. That's true.
Sorry to cut off your...
No, dude, that's it. ComedianJoshWolf.com. That show can... I do a show every Monday night. If you people smoke weed or like to watch people smoke weed, I do a show every Monday night on my Facebook fan page where I take mushrooms and smoke weed and turn on the camera.
Every Monday night?
Every Monday.
Every Monday. You take mushrooms every Monday.
Wow. Every Monday night, I take mushrooms and I...
Wow. There's never a Monday where you're like, I'm not feeling doing mushrooms.
Do you take a ton? Like, you go deep dive caps. Or is it like, okay?
I
almost a micro dosing.
I take enough to enhance the weed a lot.
Ah, okay.
And it's a good time.
Wow.
But it's weird and ridiculous. And
you just do it
sounds
solo.
Fun.
Sometimes I bring somebody, but you have to, the shows that I do, you have to be willing to just get weird.
Yeah, yeah. That's what we, sometimes you get people who are like, let's do this. And they're like, yeah, I don't do that. No. And you're like, well, this isn't fun.
Wait, quick, before we go.
Yeah.
So we did Kelsey Cook's foosball show.
Yeah.
We'd never met in our lives.
Yeah.
They said, will you have these Danish? She said, yes. So I did some research. I happened to see your episode.
Yes.
And she said to you, I used to drink straight gin and chase it with deli meat. So we show up, bottle of gin, deli meat, and it hasn't been out yet, but wasn't that.
In her defense,
into it.
It was
a whirlwind.
No.
We came in.
Ready.
On fire.
We did also bring a handgun.
Yes.
Set it on.
That's important.
She said, all I know is the producer said you won't be hurt. I don't know what's going to happen. And we were in like fucking these, we were in male rompers.
But we
like,
were drinking gin, eating deli meat, smoking weed. We had a gun. There was fucking.
What could go wrong?
Yeah.
So we saw the show and we said, how can we stand out? You know, there's a lot of comics who've done
it. We're terrible at foosball.
Yeah, we're not good. No one's watching this for our foosball.
Did she beat you?
Oh, she killed us.
Did you play together?
Yeah.
And she still beat you?
She could beat three of us.
She beat me. She scored 5 goals in like combined. 37, 38
You
seconds.
Were fast.
Yeah.
I'm terrible.
But with two of us, we could stall a little.
Yeah.
Nick Thune gave her a run for the money in this last episode.
Really?
Yeah. Like, it was a legit game. Not a lot of talking.
He may get drafted to the Pro Tour.
Well, that's unfortunate.
There's some money to be made.
I was switching the numbers on the thing.
No, she's competitive.
Just fucking around. Love it. She was switching them back.
She was mad
even
at
though
us.
We weren't scoring.
Yeah.
She said stop, and I kept doing it.
No, I love it. I love how competitive
mad
she
at
is.
Us.
Yeah, after we were like, are we cool? Like,
would either one of you do that on a Monday at my house?
I would, for sure.
Be more. I'm kind of a fearful.
Yeah, guy. I mean, what happens is, and there's weird. It's a weird hour, and we have.
Oh, I love it.
Okay.
Have you ever seen? If you've ever seen our Bert Kreischer, the cooking show,
Something's Burning,
it gets out of. It gets out of control at the fucking like we like that's
we're gonna set some
fucking
up.
Style. Yeah, I'm definitely down.
All right, I appreciate you guys having me
watch and jerk off.
Oh, and I'll be December or November 14th. I'll be in Detroit with Ari Shaffir. Go to AriTheGreat.com. I'll also be at the Vic Theater with Ari November 16th, and then I'll be in San Jose the 22nd through the 25th with at the Improv.
Who are you there with?
Renazizi. Stephen Renazizi. And I'm leaving tomorrow to go to the San Jose Improv with Ari.
Somebody.
But by the time this airs Monday, it'll be too late to get tickets for that show.
Well, there you go.
There you go.
Fuck you.
Dude, yeah, thanks a lot, man.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Awesome, dude. Play that outro.
Well, that's number one.